This is Audible.
The Zombie Chronicles, Book 2, Apocalypse Infection Unleashed series, by Chrissy Peebles. Narrated by Michael Naramore. Chapter 1. How could things have gone so wrong? I stood on the airstrip with my backpack flung over my shoulder, the early morning sun beating down on my face. I can't believe this, Nick, I said to my brother.
Neither can I, Dean.
Initially, we'd had two jeeps loaded with supplies and weapons. One was lost in a zombie attack, and the other we lost during the night because we stupidly picked up a drifter named Tahoe. I suspected he was nothing but trouble, but the girls insisted he was just an injured con man who needed our help. In the end, I was right. Tahoe was nothing but a slimy traitor. The scoundrel even took my black leather bag that contained the precious vials we needed to save my sister's life. Val had been bitten by a zombie. The serum was experimental, but the doc swore it would work. We couldn't give it to her until she actually turned into a zombie. Now her time was close, and without those vials, she was doomed. Claire and Jackie, who'd been with us since we'd found them in the woods, not far from our helicopter crash, ran back upstairs to give the airport control tower one last sweep. We'd spent the night there to catch up on some much-needed sleep. My brother's best friend Lucas and my sister Val followed to make sure we didn't forget anything. Minutes later, Val's voice suddenly cut through the air. We got everything! Let's go! We made our way onto the road and walked for what seemed like miles. After climbing a hill, we all slowed down for a minute to catch our breath.
Hey, Jackie! Claire said. Scout it out before we go any further!
On it.
She grabbed the binoculars she was wearing and climbed on top of a giant granite rock, combing her gaze over the area in front of us.
Looks all clear to me, she said.
Slowly, she spun around and peered into the trees down the hill behind us.
Wait a minute. Oh, crap!
What? I asked. You see something?
Sucking in a deep breath, she glanced down at me.
We got an angry mob of zombies on our butts.
She quickly handed me the binoculars. I climbed up on the large rock so I could get a good head count. Scanning the area, I could see the freaks, limping through the trees with their half-rotted bodies.
She's right! There must be 20 or more!
Val motioned me down.
Then what are we doing sticking around here? Let's get moving!
She led the way for a moment, then stopped, pointed, and wiped the sweat off her brow.
We can lose them in the city ruins. Come on.
Yeah, and maybe we can hotwire some wheels while we're in town,
Nick said.
I like that idea,
Lucas agreed.
A lot.
The streets were filled with debris, splintered wood, and smashed chunks of concrete from the surrounding half-destroyed buildings and other collapsed structures. I walked onto the crumbling sidewalk that was littered with glittering shards of glass and shell casings. A red piece of paper fluttered in the air past me. It was like walking into a war zone or the aftermath of an earthquake. Huge concrete blocks, pockmarked by bullets, were piled up vertically on top of one another, like a crooked, life-sized game of Jenga, spreading across the distance in front of me. I wondered if anybody had survived. Deep down, it hurt to think about it, but I knew I had to learn to endure shock and heartbreak if I was going to survive in this zombie-infected world. I looked up at the others.
What the heck happened?
The city's been bombed,
Nick said, as we passed by the blackened wreckage of a smashed, overturned car and a bus that had rammed into a collapsing telephone pole. Lucas nodded, climbing over shards of steel.
Good, I mean only because... Well, I hope it took down the majority of those dead freaks.
I stared at the grim aftermath. People had been crushed under tons of concrete block and debris. Thoughts raced through my head, and I swallowed hard. Is this what the island looked like when it was bombed? I still had no idea whether my parents and my grandma had made it out safely, and my heart ripped in two at the thought. Finally, when I could bear to look up from the destruction again, I met Nick's gaze. Think Mom and Dad could have survived something like this? His lips pressed into grim lines as he pondered.
They're survivors, Dean. Just like us.
A moan echoed through the trees, jolting me from my reverie, and I shuddered, reaching for my gun. I'd never get used to their undead groans.
They can't climb,
Claire said, making her way up the rectangular blocks and tangled rubble.
Follow me!
Jackie obediently followed behind her.
All right, guys and gals. Let's lose those things. Watch your footing up here, though. A broken ankle can mean possible death in this day and age. Running is our key to survival.
Got you loud and clear, I said, putting my gun away. I'd grown up hiking and rock climbing, so I was sure it'd be a breeze for me to outclimb a bunch of groaning, oozing undead. Watch for snakes, too, Lucas warned.
And loner zombies, Val added. One can burst out of nowhere and take a bite out of you in a split second. Trust me on that, I nodded. My shirt was glued to my back with sweat, both from nervousness and exertion, and I was half tempted to take it off.
Everybody be careful and keep your eyes open.
I hiked through the ruins, my boots slipping through the unstable layers of broken rock and soil. I swatted at a fly that buzzed by my ear and it flew off. There was an eerie silence, and none of us talked, until the skittering noise made us all jump. Whipping out my gun, I aimed at the noise that was coming from behind a big slab of granite. Something squeaked and scurried into a narrow crevice. Nick let out a long sigh.
It's only rats, man.
Val laughed, trying to break the tension.
Well, thank goodness for rats, huh?
Yeah, I'd rather deal with rodents than undead corpses, Jackie said.
I shot her a tiny grin and put my gun away.
Every little noise had my nerves on edge. I couldn't help but imagine one of those zombies jumping out at me, biting into my flesh.
Look, Nick, there's that set of wheels you wanted, Lucas chuckled, pointing on the left.
Glancing over, I could see an upside-down red car balancing on slabs of concrete and metal.
Very funny, Lucas.
You know, at this point, I'm half tempted to get that thing running, Val said with a chuckle. One thing I loved about my sister was that she wasn't a crybaby. Rather than whining and pouting like some girls do, she always faced her predicament head-on and with a good sense of humor. I climbed up the large blocks and twisted steel, crawling through whatever tiny spaces were left between the concrete, inching my way through. I was sure there was no way the zombies could maneuver through that three-dimensional maze of rock, but I also knew there could already be some up there. Surely many people had died when those buildings came down, and any that were stuck up where we were climbing were probably undead now. So my senses were on full alert. I coughed from dust of the crumbling concrete that was breaking underneath my feet. Wires dangled loosely as I squeezed through a narrow space. I walked over the piles of broken bricks as more broken glass crunched underneath my boots. After a moment, I caught Jackie's gaze and she smiled.
Some adventure, huh?
She asked. The wind blew and stirred up the smell of pulverized concrete, dirt, dust, and something else. Death.
Definitely keeps the adrenaline pumping, I said, covering my burning eyes.
She shot me one of her most adorable smiles. Even covered in the fine dust, she still looked hot. She made me forget about the pain and destruction and heartbreak and fear, if only for a minute. Meeting her had been the only good thing about the entire dreadful experience. Squeezing between two stone structures, I said.
I used to beg Nick to let me go along on his military adventures, but I guess now I've learned my lesson.
And what lesson is that?
It's not all fun and games to be hunted.
No, but it'll make us stronger, she said,
jumping off a giant chunk of black asphalt.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell the guys back on the island about this.
I climbed up another block and reached my hand down to help Jackie and Claire. Slowly but surely, we made our way over cracked slabs and busted up cinder blocks. Suddenly, unexpectedly, without any warning whatsoever, our ascent was interrupted when a moan pierced the air, and a bony hand reached out from behind a tattered pillar and grabbed Claire's ankle. I gasped. A zombie! The grotesque, half-decayed thing slithered on its stomach like some kind of snake. Dark liquid dripped from gaping wounds all over the zombie's green, torn flesh. The muscles and black veins in its back tightened and contorted as it thrashed.
Clear!
Jackie yelled, pulling out her gun.
Don't shoot!
Val motioned.
It'll only draw more of them.
Before I even had a chance to do anything, Val had sprung into action and brought her heel straight into its rib cage. Bones crunched and rotting guts sprayed. I could see its blackened lungs, green slime oozing out. The thing was completely naked and so disgusting that it made me want to vomit just to look at it. Its skin was so decayed that it seemed to be dripping off in chunks. Reaching down, Val wrapped her fingers around a metal pipe lying in the rubble. A crunching sound filled the air as she smashed the rusty pipe into the zombie's mouth.
snapping in two what was left of its gnarly jaw. Claire let out the breath she'd been holding and scrambled back from the zombie.
Thanks, Val.
Jackie rushed over and hugged Claire.
I'm fine, Jackie. Really, I am.
Claire placed her hands over her chest.
But my heart's still racing a million miles a minute.
Not bad, sis,
Nick said. Val shrugged.
Nah,
cop instincts, that's all. Dropping the slimy pipe, she wiped off her hands on her pants.
A gun might have been easier, but attracting more of those freaks is the last thing we want to do.
Exactly,
Lucas said. Nick bent down to examine Claire's ankle.
Looks like it didn't get you. Thank God for that.
Yeah, we can't have one of its long, dead fingernails scratching you now, can we?
Jackie said. Claire playfully slugged her.
No, we can't. No matter how bad you think your life is, stuff like this makes you realize that you really do want to live another day. I thought about that thing biting into my ankle before I could get loose. I thought, no, I'm not going to let it. I'm going to fight. I'm going to live.
Nobody understands those words more than me, Val said. Claire met her gaze.
You're one of the most wonderful people I've ever met, Val. Really. I'm so sorry this happened to you, but you know we'll never give up. You've got a family here. In us.
Thanks, Claire, she said.
Bad things happen. It's life, and it sucks, but sometimes in tragedy we find our life purpose. If this cure works, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to help people.
That's very admirable, Jackie said.
The sun beat down hard, and droplets of sweat rolled down Lucas's face. He glanced up and met Val's gaze.
Well, like Winston Churchill says, if you're going through hell, keep going.
All right, then, Val said.
Let's get our butts moving. We kept walking, all of us hoping to reach flat land soon. We didn't know what might be hiding in all that rubble, and we didn't want to find out. Forcing those grim, worrisome thoughts to the back of my mind, I kept a steady pace.
Chapter 2. Just as I took a few steps around a giant cinder block, I slipped. The earth seemed to be sinking out from under me. I threw out my hands to catch my balance, but I landed with a thud, face down, loosened debris raining down on top of me. I moaned, rolled over, and spat out a mouthful of dirt. I could hear the concrete and metal shifting above, but my vision was blurred by colored spots, neon lights, like fluorescent amoebas dancing all over the place. The air felt a few degrees cooler, and a damp, dusty smell filled my nostrils. When my eyes finally adjusted to the dimness, my first thought was, oh, crap, I've fallen into some kind of death trap, by myself. I covered my head as large sheets of dirt and rock fell from the ceiling.
Dean!
I heard the others shouting down. Are you okay?
Did you break anything?
Nick yelled, shining a flashlight through a long crack in the ceiling. Sunlight spilled in, and tiny dust particles hung in the air. I coughed.
I'm fine. I'm not hurt, but it sure smells like something died down here.
My eyes were burning from all the dust I'd stirred up in the fall, and I bit my lip hard at the sound of snapping ropes and creaking metal.
Okay. Just don't panic, Dean,
Lucas said.
We just have a little problem.
Little?
Nick's voice echoed.
What?
I yelled back, fearing the answer.
There's a metal beam blocking the opening you fell through,
Lucas said. I glanced up at the mangled steel beams jutting from the rubble.
Great. Just freaking great.
Don't worry,
Jackie said,
trying to make me feel better. We're looking for something to use as a crowbar. Meanwhile, do you see another way out?
I peered around in the dim light that filtered through the cracks above me.
It's kind of dark down here, but from what I can see, there's no way out but up.
The place had an eerie feel to it. Or maybe it was because I hated being trapped in that dark, isolated place, separated from the others. My eyes locked on the ceiling. The creaking sound of metal told me the place wasn't stable. My tangled heap of concrete and steel jail cell could collapse at any second, burying me beneath it, only to be a snack for a zombie that might happen by, or worse, to become one of those suckers. Tiny pebbles and streams of dirt rained down on me, and I could taste dirt in my mouth.
You have a flashlight in your backpack?
Claire called down. Glancing up, I could barely make her out amidst the tangle of debris that had shifted to trap me.
No! Lucas and Nick have 'em,
I said, coughing again.
All right! We're gonna throw one down for you,
Jackie said.
That'd be wonderful,
I called back. I could hear my brother arguing with Lucas, and that didn't do my nerves any favors. Digging him out through solid rock on shaky ground that's about to collapse will never work. Besides, we don't have the proper equipment.
I know that, Nick, Lucas said. But we have to try. He's trapped under tons of concrete and steel that might crush him any second.
I'll try to squeeze through an opening, Nick said.
That little slit? Claire said. I don't think so.
Guys, Val interrupted.
I found something we can use, so shut up and get to work.
A hiss pierced the air, and my heart pounded. My senses told me it probably wasn't a snake. I was trapped down there with a zombie, or zombies.
There's one of those undead freaks down here, I yelled. Hurry up and get me the heck out of here.
I'm coming, Nick yelled.
Hold on, Dean.
You've got a gun, Dean. For goodness sake, use it, Val shouted.
I know I said not to before, but this is an emergency situation.
Just stay calm down there, buddy, Lucas said.
Yeah, I said. Easy for you to say.
Look for a weapon, he continued. If you run out of bullets, you're going to need something like a pipe to bash its rotting head in.
I could hear the others panicking from above, and I began to really panic myself. There's no way they can move one of those heavy beams. And how am I supposed to get back to the top anyway? Fly? There has to be another way out of here, and I need to find it fast. Before I could even assess the situation, the thing came out of the shadows and directly into the sunlight. I whipped out my gun like an old Western movie sheriff, but before I could get the shot off, crumbling bricks and loose plaster fell from the ceiling, hitting my hand, making me drop my weapon. My hand throbbed, and blood trickled from an open wound on my wrist, but I didn't care. All I cared about was finding my gun and all that debris. The zombie moaned and inched slowly toward me. Searching the ground, I swallowed hard. No gun! On to Plan B! I began searching frantically around the rubble, trying to find something, anything, I could bludgeon the thing with before it bit a chunk out of me. I opted for a large piece of jagged asphalt. Before I hit the thing, I stared into its skeletal face, those milky white eyes. Its clothes were caked in dirt and mud, and it swayed and moaned as it approached. Adrenaline surged through my veins, and I spread my feet in a fighting stance. Game on! And this thing's going down! Chapter 3. The thin man with pasty green skin, wild black hair, and bulging white eyes stood, hissing at me. His sickening stench filled the air, and I gagged with bile. Or maybe it was his peeling scalp pulled back from its skull. Whatever the case, I tried not to vomit. I kicked the thing in the gut with my boot, then smashed the chunk of asphalt against its head, squashing it like a rotted cantaloupe. It was much easier than I expected. Just as I shouted out over the easy victory, two more came at me. I kicked the left leg of the first one, demolishing its knee joint, then grabbed the neck of the one missing a bottom jaw. I rammed it hard into the wall, smashing its sorry face against the cold stone. I did this a couple more times before I threw it down, just for good measure, and to make sure the thing wouldn't come writhing after me. By then, the first one was back for more, so I kicked it in the stomach with every ounce of might I had, sending it crashing into the wall with the momentum of my terror-fueled kick. Next, something clawed at my pants, and cold, dead fingers wrapped around my ankle. My heart lurched. It was the smashed knee zombie back for a second try. I swung my boot into its rotted flesh, straight into its brittle skull. A cracking sound, like a dinosaur egg being split open, echoed all around me. The thing took its last gurgling breath, and for a moment, I actually felt some pity for it. I didn't kill them for pleasure. I just had to survive. The stench of putrid, rotting flesh grew stronger, and I knew that could only mean one thing. More were coming, but from where? I didn't have to wait long to find out. All my senses were on high alert, so the slightest movement from the ground caught my attention. The ground shook as a decomposing hand with yellow bones burst through, followed by dozens more. My stomach lurched. Will they be able to dig themselves out? I didn't want to find out.
Guys! I yelled. There's a bunch of buried zombies trying to break free!
It almost felt like being stuck in a crypt, and even though I had my undead company, I'd never felt so alone. I was by myself in a Night of the Living Dead nightmare, with no backup and no one to cover my butt.
They're coming to get you, Barbara,
I kept hearing in my head, over and over again.
even though my name wasn't Barbara. We have to get him out of there now, I heard Lucas shouting to the others. You think I don't know that? My brother retorted. While my brother and friends were arguing on the surface, one of the zombies came at me. This one had a gaping wound that marred its neck and ran down its jawline. But if I had anything to say about it, it would have much more than a flesh wound when I was done. Grabbing another large stone, I pounced on the creature, knocking it down. Like a mighty warrior, I threw down my rock, let out a war cry, and with two strong swings, smashed its skull with everything I had, then wiped the bloody, sticky splatter of gore from my face. Nick! Glancing around, I tried to look for another escape route. I could hear everything shifting around me as dirt poured from the cracks in the ceiling. It was hard to breathe, so I stretched my shirt over my nose and mouth so I could catch one breath that wasn't loaded with dirt. I didn't know how I was going to die, zombies or suffocation. My gaze searched the dirt floor as I looked for my gun. A glimmer of light caught my attention off to the right. I rushed over and snatched up my long-lost weapon, ready for them to come at me. I wasn't about to go down without a fight. Dean! Nick yelled. We move some rock. I think you can slip through.
Catch the rope, Val said. We'll pull you up.
I ran to the old dirty rope and gave it a tug. Got it! Oh, my life raft, I thought. I looped the rope around me and tied it into a secure knot that would have earned me a patch in the Boy Scouts. Great, Nick said. Glancing across the room, I could see the zombies breaking free from their dirt prisons and shuffling toward me. Hurry! Get me out of here! They're coming! I began firing rounds into the freaks who were the closest. More zombies inched closer, though. A whole horde of them, moaning and groaning and carrying on. And a cold chill ran through me. With a jerk, the rope lifted me 5 feet off the ground, and I clung tightly, with a literal life-or-death grip. Glancing up, I could see Nick through the opening. It now looked big enough, and I was pretty sure I could squeeze through. Really, I had no choice. I bit my lip when I suddenly felt something grip on my foot in a tight lock. My heart lurched again, and adrenaline surged. I kicked the zombie, but it didn't let go. Swallowing hard, I aimed and shot the thing right between its dead eyes. I felt its grip loosen and let out a tiny sigh of relief, but it was far from over. Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, they did. 10 or more had now gathered below, clawing the air, trying to grab me. What if the rope snaps and I fall straight into their undead clutches? Nick and the others pulled me up a few more inches till I was just out of their reach. My gaze locked onto the decaying corpses, and I looked right into their undead eyes as they snapped at me like ravenous animals. I cringed at the sound of their bone-chilling moans echoing all around me. Faster! I screamed. Get me out of here! It was hard not to panic with the stench of death looming in the air, but I knew I needed to stay calm and focused. We all lived in a new world now, and nothing mattered but survival. I had to fight for that at all costs. Inch by inch, my saviors pulled me up. I hovered over the group of undead freaks who waited for my demise. They were just wishing the rope would break so I'd fall into their grips. When I got close to the ceiling, I let out a trembling breath. Almost there, I thought. When Nick reached out his hands, I grabbed them, squeezing through the narrow opening. I met my brother's gaze and could tell how scared he had been. I'd never been so happy to see him or to be holding his hand. That was close, Nick said, trying to act macho and pretend as if it hadn't fazed him. Too close, I said as I collapsed into everyone's waiting arms. Your wrist? Claire said. Are you okay? Just a battle wound, not a bite, I assured her, untying the rope from around me. A piece of concrete fell from the ceiling and nailed me. Val whipped out a bandage from her backpack and placed it over my wound. Sorry, but this is all I've got. It'll have to do, Lucas said. We'll clean it later.
I've never been so scared, Jackie said, cupping my face with both hands.
I could see the tears welling up in her eyes, and I believed every word she said. She really cared, I thought. I could really read the emotion in her face and knew it was genuine. I found myself caring very much about what happened to her, and it wasn't just because she was pretty, though she was definitely that. There was something more to it than that. I wasn't sure when it had happened, because the last few days had been a blur. All I knew was that I wanted her with me during all that chaos.
Even if we parted once we reached civilization, I'd never forget her. Or that mind-blowing kiss we'd shared in the lake.
It's gonna be okay. We'll get through this together, she promised. Her breath was soft in my ear.
I embraced her tightly before the others came over for a group hug. Trying to soak it all in, I ran a hand through my hair and glanced at Nick.
Are you sure you're okay?
He asked, stuffing the rope into his backpack for later use, no doubt, to subdue Val when she changed.
Yeah, it was just freaky, that's all. You always have my back, Nick. Always.
And when you weren't right there, fearing that I might be overcome with emotion to the point of tears, embarrassment, and harassment by the macho guys who were with me, my voice trailed off.
You did good,
he said.
Fought him off like a champ. I've never been more proud of you, little brother. You're a survivor, a fighter, just like me and Val.
Growing tired of all the fanfare, Lucas messed around with the tracking device.
Can we discuss all this mushy, frou-frou crap later? Right now, we gotta move it or lose it, people.
Chapter 4. Climbing through the rubble, we finally managed to make it to the side of town that hadn't been bombed. It was empty and deserted, and reminded me of a 19th century American ghost town. Except for the fact that we were in the 21st century. Swirling dust devils danced in the cool breeze. My furtive glances darted from one side to the other, taking in the lonely streets, dirty sidewalks, crumbling brick buildings and boarded up storefronts. I walked up Main Street and turned the bend. A rusty red pickup immediately caught my attention. Claire grabbed my arm.
Look, Dean!
I bet I can hotwire that thing,
Lucas said.
No, I can, Val said.
Nick rolled his eyes.
This isn't a competition, you two.
I couldn't help but stare at my sister. It looked like she'd painted her face green for a Halloween party. Her flesh had peeled away on her left cheek to expose a tiny patch of muscle. And what really freaked me out were her eyes. They were turning white, like our elderly aunt with the cataracts. A loud moan echoed through the air, and I realized it was coming from the rear of the truck. My brother motioned us back as he walked where a zombie stood, and my heart jumped. I stepped closer as the wind whipped through my hair. The thing was tied up inside the bed of the truck by its ankles, thrashing around like a cornered animal. Jackie stared at the zombie, and I could see the pain in her eyes. I knew she had to be thinking about the group she had lost to zombies.
Looks like someone was trying to stop it, but didn't have the heart to kill it, I said.
It's sad, Jackie said. Nobody deserves to be left like this. That could be any one of us.
I think it's far more cruel to leave a loved one or a friend in this kind of condition, Val said.
Please don't ever do that to me.
Never,
Nick said, quickly turning away to hide the tears that were welling up in his eyes. When he'd regained his composure, he turned to face Lucas.
Check for gas. And then you and Val get this truck hot-wired.
Val smiled. Guess we're a team, Lucas.
Right. We're gonna need...
A screwdriver? She held one up.
You're not like any girl I've ever met, he said. You're cool, tough, and funny, and brave.
Well, I'm not your typical gal.
And don't let the smile fool you. I never give up. Not ever. Claire pulled out her gun.
I have to kill that thing. Put it out of its misery.
And I hope you all know she's not talking about me,
Val called back as Lucas pulled her along to the front of the truck. Claire met my gaze.
This poor soul wouldn't want to be left this way. I need to do this if I'm ever going to make it out of here in this crazy world we now live in. I've got to know that I still have some kind of compassion left in me, and that I'm brave enough to face one of those things, and kill it.
We're gonna need you, Nick said. And yes, you have to be ready.
Claire slowly pulled out her gun and aimed.
I'm so sorry, she said to the zombie,
sniffling and wiping a tear from her cheek.
Aim for the center of the head, I coached. It's the only thing that'll kill them.
She nodded. The thing let out a loud howl, and Claire pulled the trigger. It dropped, crashing down with a loud thud, like a lifeless, filthy sack of potatoes. It was difficult watching her kill a human being that someone had once cared for. It could have been somebody's son, father, or brother. It could have been Nick, I reasoned, and I felt like I was going to be sick all over again. Nick cut the rope, and I hopped into the bed of the truck. Jackie helped me heave the body over the edge and onto the ground, and I wiped my hands on a nearby rag. The engine clicked and finally started, so we could all breathe a little easier, knowing that we had better transportation than our aching feet.
I didn't know where we were going to go, but the truck would help us get there faster. Lucas opened the divider window in the cab of the truck.
I'm driving, and Val's riding up here.
Sure, leave us exposed to the elements and zombies, I joked. But really, I didn't mind riding in the back. There was only room for two or three in the front anyway, and there was no sense cramming ourselves in there like sardines.
Hey, how much gas is there? Jackie asked.
Not much, he said. We'll have to find some, but we have enough for now.
I bit my lip.
It'll have to do.
Let's get on the road, Val called over.
I mean, it's only my fat butt on the line.
For the record, I don't agree, Lucas said.
Val shot him a look like she was shocked that he didn't want to hurry up and save her life.
I mean, your butt's not fat,
Lucas explained. If you ask me, I think it's perfection, and she playfully slugged him.
Come on, Mr. Sweet Talker. Let's get a move on before all that perfection rots off before your very eyes.
In the distance, zombies stumbled toward us. I pounded on the glass window and motioned for Lucas to hit the gas and fast. Chapter 5. Val and Lucas chatted up front while the rest of us sang songs and told jokes in the back of the pickup truck. The cool wind whipped through my hair as I watched the blur of scenery pass around me. I hardly saw any zombies on the plains, and it was somewhat comforting to know that there were zombie-less places in the world. Not every single patch of land was flooded with them like the horror movie suggested. We drove through a seemingly endless stretch of gravel roads and farmland. I tried to distract myself and not dwell on our circumstances. I had faith that we'd find Tahoe and the vials. I had to have faith and hope, because that was really all we had to rely on, besides each other. According to the tracking device, we were right on his tail. Val slid open the window divider.
Hey guys, I've got bad news.
What?
I asked.
The low fuel light just popped on.
Bad news is right, I said.
We're going to have to find a gas station, I said with a grimace.
Nick nodded.
Definitely. But gas station pumps aren't going to work without electricity.
Val squinted at a map.
We should be hitting a town soon. We'll find some cars and siphon some gas.
With what? Jackie asked.
We don't have a siphon hose.
Yeah, we do, I said proudly. I snagged one from the garage of that glass house for that very reason.
Nick met my gaze.
Yeah, after I told you to grab it.
He was just trying to upstage me as usual.
You're just lucky it's in my backpack, I said.
We found a small country store, Morning Glory Farm, on a desolate stretch of road before we reached the next town. It was a lucky find, as there were a few cars sitting in the back parking lot. Once we parked, I walked around to the front of the store. Colorful flowers and white-tipped ivy twisted around the railing and windows. A white sign exhibited the prices of fruits, vegetables, flowers, and firewood. In red, freehand-painted lettering, they advertised free hayrides on the weekends. It was almost surreal, as if a little part of normal still lingered there and hadn't been ruined by zombies. Jackie took a seat in the wicker rocker.
I love the country. This place reminds me of my grandma's farm.
Yeah, it's nice out here, Claire said. So peaceful and quiet.
Yeah, I said. I would love to hole up here for the night. But we all knew we couldn't. We were in a hurry to find Tahoe and the stolen vials if we were going to save my sister. That was our top priority, as tempting as it was to sit there, rocking on that porch, pretending none of the horror had happened. I peeked inside through the lace curtains of the display window. Wood-framed photographs and paintings of old barns, farmhouses, and cowboys decorated the walls. They also sold hammered and painted metal wall hangings shaped like chickens, cows, tractors, ducks, and flowers. The shop was dark, and I couldn't make out anything past the second aisle. The little store seemed abandoned. All of a sudden, Val doubled over and threw up by the bales of hay stacked against the wall.
Oh, hey, I'm gonna go lie down in the truck. Everything's spinning, and I swear I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Let me help you to the truck, I said.
Yeah,
Lucas said.
Let us help you.
Thanks, but I'll be fine. I just need a few minutes to get my head straight.
We respected her wishes. I knew if I were in the same situation, I would probably want some alone time, too.
To be honest, as much as I hate to say it, I'm not feeling so great, she admitted.
I hope you understand.
We'll be right back, I said,
feeling horrible for her,
and for what we'd feel like if we lost her in the end.
Okay, I'll hold down the fort, she said, walking briskly back to the truck. I motioned to the others to stay alert as I rounded the corner to the back of the store. Beyond the parking lot, corn stalks grew in neat rows, sprouting high toward the horizon. I cringed. Cornfields tended to freak me out in general, especially now, when zombies were lurking around in every nook and cranny. I shivered, thinking I must have watched too many horror films about walking scarecrows and possessed little kids. Jackie looked around. You think it's safe?
I don't see anything, Lucas said. We'll keep our eyes open. Shouldn't take us too long to get some gas. We should be back on the road in no time.
Can you and the girls stand guard?
Nick asked me.
Sure, I said, glancing around at the old rusty cars. It seemed like they'd been left there for a reason. Most of them had been stripped down and didn't even have tires. I wondered if we'd even find gas. Lucas held up the clear 6-foot hose I packed.
So, which car should we try first?
Running a hand through his hair, Nick glanced around.
The red one.
Lucas nodded and rushed over to the gas tank. I scanned my surroundings. Everything looked okay, peaceful and quiet. Birds flew across the blue sky. The girls and I stood guard as gas traveled up the hose and started to flow down the loop, toward the ground and into the can.
We got gas, baby!
Lucas shouted.
Awesome!
Claire's voice rang.
Well, that's fantastic, I said. We should check out all these cars and take as much as we can get our hands on.
He slapped me on the back.
That's the plan, buddy.
Jackie twisted the silver ring on her finger as she stared off into the field.
Hey, guys,
what is it? I asked her.
There's something moving over there.
She pointed to some rustling corn stalks, moving around as if something was pushing through them. My senses were already on full alert, but now my heart began to race even faster. As I whipped out my gun, I felt a wave of anxiety come over me. Breathing slowly to maintain my aim, I said,
She's right! I see something! You guys are creeping me out!
Claire said.
Let's hurry up and get out of here!
I grabbed her shoulder, anxious to prove to her that I wasn't making it up.
See it?
Lucas took a few steps forward and scanned the fields ahead.
Don't go playing Rambo until we know for sure. We sure as heck don't want to invite a bunch of zombies to this little siphoning party if we don't need to. Maybe it's just an animal. Some lost groundhog or something.
Right, I agreed, having fought off enough zombies for one day. Jackie grabbed my hand and started to lead me away from the car.
Let's just go. We've got enough gas for now.
I put my gun away, knowing she was right.
Nick, let's go.
Nick squinted into the cornfield.
All right, let's get out of here. We don't want to take any chances.
Lucas picked up the hose and gas can.
Well, this ought to be enough gas to get us started.
What a cruel world we live in,
Jackie said.
Now all it takes is a shadow to drive us all into a panic. It'll be different when we get back to the island, I swear,
I said, hoping it was true. We'll be able to walk around freely without fear. She let out a long sigh.
It sounds like heaven.
I've always taken the place for granted, I admitted shamefully. I've even been going around calling it a prison cell for a year, but now that I've been out here, I've come to realize that I had a pretty carefree life back there. Everyone out here struggles just to live another day, always having to be on constant guard. This has sure been a reality check for me. I love my island now because I know nothing is guaranteed anymore. I'm done taking things for granted.
Yeah, Nick said. I thought the island was a slice of heaven, but I had to listen to you gripe and complain about how you were stuck on that rock and wanted nothing more than to get off of it.
I know, Lucas said, and now he just wants to get back as soon as possible.
I guess I was just naive, I said.
And stubborn,
Nick chimed in.
Fine, and stubborn. You happy now? I admit it. I was completely clueless and stubborn as a jackass, okay?
He clapped my back, and a wide grin grew across his face.
I think this little reality check will make you appreciate the Eerie Islands a whole lot more. And now maybe you'll understand why they had all those security precautions in place. They were just trying to protect us.
Well, now I know, I replied smartly.
And knowing is half the battle,
Nick quickly replied.
And everyone shook with laughter as he struck a rigid military salute. Nick was right, and everything made perfect sense. I actually understood why they felt compelled to kill the infected. There was little else they could do since there was no cure. Now I couldn't blame them.
As we made our way around the store to get back to our jeep, a deep, throaty growl snapped me back into reality. Zombies in tattered flesh and ripped clothing lumbered toward us. I turned and was greeted by more of the shuffling ghouls from behind. With the barn to the left of us and the store to the right, the zombies had us pinned in from both sides. Everything had happened so fast that I could barely take one breath. Claire clutched at my arm.
Where did they all come from?
I didn't know the answer to that question. What I did know was that we had to get back to Val and drive to safety. I aimed and began pulling the trigger again and again. The recoil sent shuddering vibrations through my arm, and with each wave of force, another zombie fell to the ground in a bloody, slimy heap. In total, 4 zombies fell, but more still came.
Dean!
My brother yelled.
Get any coming from the right! Girls, cover the left! Lucas and I will take center stage!
Bullets started flying, and within a flurry of seconds that felt like hours, I'd already emptied an entire clip. Like true battle-hardened warriors, Jackie and Claire fired again and again, dropping the undead one by one. I looked over to the cornfield and saw dozens more of the decomposing bodies pushing through the dried stalks of corn, immediately joining the mob surrounding us. There were too many of them. It was a growing army, worse than any horror film I'd ever seen. Some had missing arms, some had no faces, and one zombie had been impaled right through the midsection with a giant sword that jiggled when he walked and stumbled. An endless wave of bullets sprayed into the zombies from all of us. But still, they just kept coming.
We're gonna be out of ammo in no time, I yelled. Yeah, that's a given, my brother shouted.
But none of us knew what to do but keep firing. Chapter 6. The grunts, hisses, and moans of the oncoming horde sent chills down my spine as they moved ever closer. I scanned my surroundings. I thought maybe we could break into the store or the barn, but we didn't want to get trapped inside like we had at the glass house. Lucas yelled my name and dragged over a ladder. He propped it up against the store by a second-floor window. As he clambered up, he shouted,
"I'll go first so I can secure the area."
Nick fired at a shirtless man with nearly no skin remaining over his now broken and exposed ribcage. The monster's head exploded like a melon, spattering a fine mist of blood and bits of brain matter just inches from my brother's face. Nick wiped his sleeve across his face, then motioned toward the ladder.
Go, Dean!
I tucked my gun into the waistband of my pants and started to climb after Claire and Jackie. Shots echoed from above, and I knew Lucas was taking down any zombies who'd managed to find their way inside. He suddenly peered his head out the window, frantically helping Claire into the room. Once I tumbled inside, I jumped to my feet and looked for Nick. He climbed up the ladder as zombies began to shake it. I put down a few more, but there were just too many of them.
Hurry, Nick!
I yelled to the others for help, then tried to hold on to the ladder as it teetered. Claire and Jackie rushed to try and help steady it, but Nick was almost up when the ladder wobbled too far to the right, sliding out from under him and falling to the ground. I grabbed my brother's hands, squeezing them tightly. For such a macho guy, his eyes were wide with fear as his legs swung in the air. Zombies reached out, dozens of bloody, mutilated hands trying to grab him. But Lucas and I wrenched him up and inside to safety. My heart raced, and I hugged him tight.
Whoa, that was close.
He tried to pretend it hadn't fazed him one bit, even though I knew better. Yeah, thanks. I glanced around at the dead zombies on the floor. The door was shut, and I assumed Lucas had locked it after he had secured the room. We were standing in a giant empty room. Hammers, toolboxes, timber, paint cans, saws, cracked plaster and boxes of nails were scattered everywhere. It looked like they'd been remodeling when the world fell apart. I thought about Val, sleeping in the truck. Catching Nick's gaze, I said,
"Val has their scent. She'll be okay, right?"
"She'll be fine," Nick said. "Let's try to yell for her."
"Yeah," I said. "If she could bring the truck closer."
All of us yelled out the window, to no avail. I was sure she was sleeping, as the zombie virus was taking quite a toll on her body. A sudden pounding coming from the door nearly made me jump out of my skin. My gaze landed on the doorknob, which slowly began to turn. We knew there were zombies on the other side of the door, and they wanted to get to where the food was. Nothing freaked me out more than that.
"What are we going to do?"
Claire asked, shaking Jackie's shoulder.
"They're bound to get that door open eventually. For goodness sakes,
They busted through glass walls back at the mansion. Jackie let out a long breath as she reloaded her gun. I don't know, but we can't stay here. I ran a hand through my hair and glanced at Nick for an answer, but he had none yet.
I'm thinking, he said.
Zombies are everywhere, Claire's voice echoed. All we did was stop for some gas. Is this a messed up world or what? The minute you stop, even for a second, you end up fighting for your life.
She couldn't have been more right, and I'd learned my lesson the hard way. We should have never ventured outside of a secured city. Leaving my safe island was a dumb idea. If only I'd known firsthand how horrible it was out here. Then again, I had no idea we'd crash either. The moans and hissing sent goosebumps up my arms. We had boxed ourselves in again, but this time we didn't have a choice. If we'd have stayed outside, we'd have ended up being a zombie smorgasbord. And I was in no mood to be anyone's main course. Jackie wrapped her arm around me for comfort. I gazed into her terror-filled eyes. This isn't good. Not good at all, I realized. I pulled her close and placed a quick kiss high on her forehead. Don't worry. We'll figure this out.
I'm not worried, she said,
her eyes wide. But she was a horrible liar.
We could probably shoot our way out of here, Nick said. We can open the door and take down whatever stands in our way, then make it downstairs and out a side door where there are less of them.
I kind of like it, Jackie said.
We could lose them in the corn stalks. You know how clumsy they'd be trying to maneuver through that kind of labyrinth.
Well, if we're going to go, it had better be now, before this place floods with them, Claire said. I'm sure they can smell us in here. And it's like somebody rang the dinner bell.
I glanced up.
She's right. How much ammo does everyone have left?
I've already reloaded, but still, I have about 6 shots left.
I've got about 5, Lucas said. But I also brought some extra ammo.
I'm good, Jackie said.
Claire sighed.
Me too.
I have a little extra ammo too, Nick said. I should have brought more with me, though.
I squinted through a small peephole in the door. A few of our deathly adversaries stumbled around, groaning.
Looks like there's only 2 or 3. We can handle that, Lucas said. Save ammunition if you can. Plus, we don't want to alert the others with gunfire.
Jackie and Claire grabbed screwdrivers out of the metal toolbox while Nick grabbed a hammer. Lucas found a very hefty pipe wrench that he bounced in his hand a couple of times to get a feel for the weight. Under a pile of rags in the corner, I saw a wooden handle sticking out.
Picking it up, I was happy to discover that it was an axe.
Nick touched the knob and unlocked the door.
On a count of 3, Lucas and I will charge. 1, 2...
Chapter 7.
3!
My heart felt like it would explode in my chest as Nick's hand turned the knob and swung the door open. As soon as the door unlatched, the infected on the other side immediately shoved the heavy oak door inward. As it crashed open, I saw a lot more than the 3 we'd seen through the peephole. Pushing through were 4 unhappy and very mutilated people, and I could hear more stumbling down the hallway. The first zombie through the frame was a sweet old grandmother type in a blood-drenched Christmas sweater. Of course, only one side was her sweet side. The other side of her face was nothing but shredded scraps of muscle dangling from her skull. Nick brought the claw end of his hammer down hard on the head of the snarling granny, dropping her in one quick motion. He wasn't as lucky with the second undead, who quickly grabbed his hammer and held his arm by the wrist, trying to pull him into the small mob of gnashing teeth. The monster stood on 2 legs, even though 1 had been gnawed to the bone. Nick kicked his attacker square in the chest, sending it reeling into the rest of the pack, pushing them all back into the hallway. Lucas decided to take advantage of the pile of fallen zombies. He gripped the heavy metal pipe wrench with both hands and brought it down hard on the skull of the one on top. The zombie's head collapsed inward like a rotten piece of fruit. One of the remaining flesh eaters tried to crawl out from under the weight of the now motionless zombie with the inverted skull, but with only 1 arm. He didn't get very far before Lucas bashed his head in as well. The zombie at the bottom of the rot pile was a man with no skin anywhere on his head, just a blood-covered skull. Lucas shuddered and simply brought the heel of his hefty combat boot on the gnashing skull, smashing it to pieces. Nick motioned for us to move, and I took the hint. Moving quickly down the hall, I tripped on the foot of one of the destroyed corpses, landing face down. As I lifted my head, I saw I was face to face with a drooling, biting, undead freak. As I started to crawl backward, away from its menacing, snapping jaws, my axe came whistling through the air and split the thing's head in two. Gasping for breath, I jumped to my feet to get a look at the thing that had crawled toward me. It was crawling, because it had nothing left below the ribcage. Nothing at all. How is that even possible? I wondered. I took my time and slowly walked down the hallway and turned left, down a dark corridor, to look for a staircase. We were all on our tiptoes, trying to remain as silent as possible as we inched forward. My ears pricked up at the muffled moans that echoed down the hall, and I knew there had to be more of them downstairs. I strained to listen, hoping there were only a few and not a whole army of those rotting freaks. Suddenly, a zombie with thinning blonde hair and deep, ragged claw marks that laid open her once attractive face came down the hall and charged right toward Jackie. I held my breath, but the ugly zombie dropped like a sack of potatoes as Jackie nailed it between the eyes with a screwdriver. The thing fell backward and crashed into the wall. My own personal warrior princess reached over, wrapped her fingers tightly around the handle now protruding from the pierced skull, and snatched her weapon back. We kept walking along a corridor with a multitude of closed doors. At the end of the hall, we found the main staircase, but our dream of escape was promptly dashed as a dozen or so mutilated zombies filled the stairwell, blocking our path. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'd expected a few, but this was far worse than even my most pessimistic fear. My stomach clenched and churned beneath my sweat-soaked shirt. Crowds of them were piling up behind one another. As they met our gaze, they hissed and lurched in our direction. Seizing the opportunity, I swung the axe down with immense force into the skull of a zombie who stood directly in front of me. Clutching the axe handle for dear life, I kicked him with everything I had, prying loose the axe from the split skull, sending the monster tumbling backward, down the stairs. It was something of a domino effect, for his lifeless body collided with others behind him, and then into other infected further down the stairs. Soon, most were writhing in a grotesque, squirming pile at the foot of the stairwell. Claire tried to open the closest doors.
"They're all locked! Run!"
Lucas shouted. I could hear the zombies clawing their way back up the stairs, and the shuffling of their feet stumbling along the hallway corridor. My brain screamed for me to go faster, but I was at the tail end of the group, and could only go as fast as the person in front of me. The awful moans and growls got closer by the second. After what seemed like an eternity, we finally turned the corner, and I slammed the door on the hissing zombies. I was the last to hurl myself back into the unfinished room and fumbled with the lock. With a trembling breath, I leaned against the shuddering doorframe and tried to produce enough resistance from that side to keep them from pushing in if they somehow managed, with their klutzy, skinless hands, to break the flimsy lock. Jackie pushed against the door, panting hard as she tried to catch her breath.
"What? What are we gonna do? We need to think of something else."
Claire grabbed a board off the floor.
"For starters, fetch some hammers and nails, and let's start barricading this door."
"I like the way you think, girl," Lucas said, picking up a hammer.
The pounding of nails echoed throughout the room as we all worked together and boarded up the door with plywood.
We knew it wouldn't keep them out for long.
Least it would give us some time to think of a plan B. As the door shook, I gripped my axe tightly, watching the knob wobble and turn. Crap! I knew it loomed behind that door, and it wasn't doing my nerves any favors.
We gotta get out of here!
"No kidding," Nick said.
I shot him a glare, then shook it off. I went to the window and gazed out, staring at the open window on the second floor in the barn next door.
"Guys, I have an idea."
"What?"
Claire asked. I darted over to a long, wide board, about 2 by 20, and struggled to pick up one dusty end. It seemed sturdy enough to hold our weight. Lucas rushed over.
"What are we thinking here?"
I pointed out the window.
"We could use this to make a sort of bridge and climb over to the barn. There might be a vehicle inside, an ATV, a motorcycle, or even a frickin' lawnmower. Plus, I bet there are tools, too. Pitchforks and axes and all kinds of other stuff."
Nick grasped the board and turned it over as if he were testing it.
"You're right. If we can actually get over there."
"That thing'll never hold all of our weight," Jackie said. "It's too thin."
Lucas's lips pressed into grim lines.
"Looks like we just became tightrope walkers. What other options do we have?"
"But it's gonna break," Jackie repeated.
Lucas shook his head.
"Not if we go one at a time."
Claire grabbed his arm.
I barely made it across the balance beam in gym class, and that didn't come with an army of bloodthirsty cannibals.
We have no other choice, I explained. She bit her lip as she stared down at the zombies roaming the yard.
It's not that far, Nick assured her. Let's slide the board across to the other window.
Lucas squinted.
It's gotta be a good 15 feet.
He and Nick took the front of the long board, and the girls took the back, and I took the middle.
You sure it's long enough?
Jackie asked, heaving a terrified sigh.
I don't know, I said, but it's pretty darn heavy.
Drops of sweat rolled down my back as we scooted it out the window. I was just as uneasy as she was about it, but I couldn't let that show. After multiple attempts, one of which nearly lost our plank to the hungry mob below, we were able to maneuver and slide the other end into the barn window. It was one crazy plan, and I could only hope it would work. If even one person lost their balance, I'd never be able to live with myself.
Chapter 8.
Walking the plank never sounds like a good idea. But walking across one in midair to get to a barn window seemed absolutely insane. Really, we had no choice, and at least there were no pirates involved. Since this was my idea, I'll go first to see if it works, I said sullenly.
No, Dean,
my overprotective big brother said.
Absolutely not. I'll go first.
Lucas threw up his arms in exasperation.
No. If the board breaks, I won't have your brother watching you get torn to shreds.
Nick pointed his finger in Lucas's face and was about to say something when Jackie interrupted.
Then I'll go first, she spat. Besides, I'm more acrobatic than any of you guys.
I loved her attitude and her bravery and gripped her hand tightly.
Listen, Jackie, Lucas said. I admire your newfound courage, but you don't know how to secure the perimeter over there. I do.
She crossed her arms.
Fine. You go first, but I'm going second and Claire is going third. Dean is fourth. Nick, you can come over last, since you're the protector.
I know that's the way you'd want it. Nick nodded. The door began to rattle and shake violently, until I was sure it was going to pop right off its rusty hinges. I began to question how well we'd sealed it. My heart pounded against my ribs as I grabbed more boards and started hammering. Lucas stepped up onto the plank.
Be careful!
I yelled. I wanted so much to watch to make sure he got across okay, but I had to keep the zombies out. So I just kept hammering away like a madman.
He made it!
Claire said after a few tense moments, her voice brimming with excitement. I let out a long breath that I could have sworn I'd been holding the entire time, then grabbed another handful of nails, hammering them one at a time in rapid succession.
Okay, he's securing the perimeter now, Nick said.
After a minute passed, Jackie began to pace.
Where is he? I hope he's okay.
Don't worry, Nick said. Lucas and I have been through much worse.
I began to wonder what could have been worse, but then I shook the thought from my head. It wasn't the time for questions, especially those I didn't really want to know the answers to.
All clear!
I heard Lucas's voice echo from outside.
Come on over!
I'm coming,
Jackie said as she crawled out the window.
You can do it! Just don't look down!
I yelled as I continued to hammer and pound.
Please be super careful, Claire said.
I was nailing the last available board into place when I heard Nick yell out that she was safe. I let out a massive sigh of relief and let the rest of the nails tumble from my hand as I stepped over to the window. Claire slowly and awkwardly stepped up onto the board, then out between the windows. She moved at a painfully slow pace, taking baby steps forward and trying not to look below her. A sudden gust of wind sent her hair flying, and suddenly Claire was waving her arms around madly, trying to regain her balance, even as the board wavered with her sudden movements. Halfway across, another massive gust of wind sent Claire teetering to the left, then right. She took a quick step forward to balance herself again and slipped off the board. We all screamed in terror at the exact same moment. Luckily enough, she caught hold of one side of the plank with both hands and managed to hold onto it as the zombies, just feet below, surged and howled for her blood. The board bucked, twisted, and bounced, threatening to drop her to the waiting mouths below. She screamed and kicked her legs as nearly every zombie in the yard began reaching up to claw and grab at her legs, like they thought she was manna from above. Lucas jumped on the other end of the plank in an attempt to steady it with his weight. Instinctively, I began to crawl out the window to help her when my brother grabbed my arm.
Your weight on that board isn't going to help her one bit. It might break with two of you on there, he wisely warned. I yanked my arm away.
But she needs help!
Yeah, well, that kind of help is going to get you both killed, Nick yelled. If she can't get back up, I'll go. Just give her a sec.
As Lucas scurried out the barn window, Nick yelled for him to stop. Claire grabbed the board with her fingertips and with immense difficulty managed to pull herself up into a sitting position. I could see the bloodstains on the wood, and I knew her hand had to be practically raw.
Start crawling!
I shouted. Jackie and Lucas cheered her on from the barn window as Nick and I just kept shouting for her to crawl forward and not to look down. She slowly scooted across and finally reached the other end of the board where she collapsed into Jackie's arms.
You're next, Nick said, staring into my eyes with absolute seriousness.
I slipped the axe through my belt, handle first, then crawled out of the window onto the plank, then slowly rose to a stand. The sound of cracking wood echoed from behind me as the zombies began to break through the door.
No flippin' way! My jaw dropped as the bottom half of the door splintered apart, and the zombies began crawling through it, swarming into the room. We had to get over to the barn fast. My heart thundered as I tried to move quickly, without falling.
Come on, Nick! We both gotta go now!
It'll never hold all that weight.
Chance it!
I yelled.
No! You go on and get across. I'm right behind you.
He fired a few shots, and I hoped he wasn't going to play martyr.
I'm not moving a muscle till you are standing on this board with me, I demanded.
Fine,
he said, knowing I could be just as stubborn as he was. I let out a breath as he crawled out the window and fired off a few more shots. I knew he needed to give me a head start so the weight would be evenly distributed. That was our only chance of the board not breaking.
Don't look at me, Nick shouted. Focus on your steps!
I put one foot on the plank, lifted the other, and then had to trust the narrow board to support all my weight. Don't look down, don't look down. I scooted 3 feet using baby steps, and then I forgot my own advice. I looked down. I forced myself to ignore what I saw. There were now dozens of mutilated hands and faces, all thrashing around violently, just waiting for their free meal to fall from the sky above. When I thought about what could happen if I fell, I started to hyperventilate. My breathing became shallow, and I struggled to catch my breath.
Okay, time to move, I thought.
I took a couple of quick, deep breaths until I was able to think again. Moving as quickly as I could with such poor balance, I worked on keeping my feet moving, one in front of the other, to some imaginary beat in my mind. With my balance about to give out, I tried to regain control by using my hips and keeping my arms out straight, but it just didn't seem to help.
I can do this, I thought. I can do this. I'll pretend I'm only 3 feet off the ground.
I hadn't even reached the middle when a gust of wind hit me in the back. It was as if I was being pushed by an invisible bully. I looked at the finish line, only a few feet in front of me, and continued forward. My foot suddenly caught on something, nearly sending me toppling into the sea of zombies below.
What was that?
Everyone else had managed to cross over without difficulties, with the exception of Claire. Holding my breath, I looked down.
Nails? I hadn't seen them when we'd picked up the board.
Why couldn't they have been pounded in from this side? I complained in my head, furious that I had to pick my feet up to get over them. Another gust filled my shirt like a sail, and I waited for the cruel draft to die out. One foot was over, and the second foot followed. The wood wobbled, and a bead of sweat rolled down my face. I had to play it cool, fighting the urge just to sprint over. One slip and... I glanced over my shoulder. Nick was right behind me, just out of reach of the zombie intruders who were flailing their hands out the window. Finally, I reached the end and jumped into the barn window. The zombies, trying to get to Nick, who was still crossing the plank, shoved the board with their bodies as they struggled to reach him. Nick must have felt the board about to drop from the house window because he shifted from slow-motion tightrope walker to full running leap off the end of the board. Just as his feet left the board, it tumbled from the window, careening into the screaming mob below. With his arms out, his body seemed to sail through the air until he collided with the barn window frame, clutching with all his strength. Before we could reach down to pull him up, he hoisted himself into the window with one mighty push. Claire and Jackie led us inside. I couldn't have been happier, even though I knew we weren't out of the zombie-infested woods just yet. I pulled out my axe and was grateful I was able to bring it safely over without losing it. Or worse, cutting myself during that little risque circus act. Let's figure out where we are, Nick said. We're above the stalls in a hayloft, Jackie said. Her voice sounded like heaven. I rushed over, and she wrapped her arms around me as I squeezed her body tightly against my own.
All right, I'm going to make a second sweep, Lucas said, slapping my back. Come on!
I glanced down to make sure it was safe. I didn't see anything, so I clambered down the hayloft ladder. Beams of sunlight filtered in through the high windows and shone on my face. The barn was pretty much a giant room with a high roof and arched entrances at each end. But there wasn't anything we could really use. No equipment, no supplies, and no tools.
This place has been stripped down to the bare bones. Just our luck, Nick said, rasping in a low breath.
Claire squeezed his hand. It may look hopeless, but I'm not giving up. Not after all we've gone through to get here. He pulled her close.
None of us here are quitters.
I don't want to die, Nick. I'll do whatever it takes. Jackie slipped her hand into Claire's and squeezed it in assurance. We've survived this long, and we're not going to let anything stop us now. The barn doors shook violently, and zombies began pounding on the wooden walls, making a terrible racket. Let's go take a look in the back, Claire said, her voice wavering. There has to be something around here.
There's nothing but useless farm machines. A John Deere's of no use without keys, Lucas said.
Farm machines? Jackie said. I used to help out on my grandparents' farm. She tugged Claire's arm. Let's go check it out.
No, yelled Nick. You shouldn't separate from us. We should all stick together.
They ignored Nick, except to turn and roll their eyes at him, then disappeared into the back.
Just let them go, Lucas said. The place is clear, and maybe she can figure out a way to get one of those machines working. While they're gone, we need to figure out a plan.
Fine, Nick conceded, blowing out a breath.
What about some kind of distraction?
Like what? I asked. Suddenly, the barn doors splintered open, and daylight flooded the dimly lit barn. My jaw dropped as dozens of zombies surged forward.
Chapter 9. Like a stampede of wild rabies-infected bulls, the zombies came barging through the broken barn doors. My stomach lurched, and I froze for a moment, then turned and yelled to the girls,
Jackie! Claire! Quick, hide! The barn has been breached!
My brother grabbed my arm and dragged me along.
Let's go, back upstairs.
I followed him back up the wooden ladder that led to the loft. Nick pulled the ladder up so the zombies wouldn't be able to follow us. There were so many of the dead things stumbling around below. I screamed for the girls again, but they didn't answer, and a chill ran down my spine at the thought that maybe that was because they couldn't. The zombies were flooding inside by the minute. Crap! I knew if we didn't do something soon, the girls wouldn't stand a chance.
Nick!
I said, holding up the axe. Let's find out what room they're in. We can chop through the floor of the loft and lift them up. Nick and Lucas nodded, and we bolted to the other side of the barn. We all screamed for the girls through the cracks, trying to be louder than the growls and moans of the monsters below.
We're down here!
Jackie finally yelled. My heart leapt at the sound of her voice, and I estimated where she was. Gripping the axe handle tightly, I chopped at the floor as Nick and Lucas began ripping a hole in the wooden floorboards.
I can see them,
Nick shouted. I kept chopping, trying to make a hole big enough for them to squeeze through. Lucas knelt down.
They're hiding out in a combine harvester.
I could see them through the driving cab of the giant farm machine used to harvest grain crops in the fields. Thank goodness! We still had a chance to save them. Relief flooded through me, and they were okay for the time being. I swung the axe harder into the floor to make the opening even bigger. Nick pulled on my arm.
Stop.
What?
I asked. They're pointing to keys.
To the harvester.
I squinted. Keys dangled on a large hook on the wall. I checked out the zombies. Dozens, possibly more, were circling the large room. At the sight of them, I knew there was no way we could just slip down there and nab those keys.
Jackie rolled down the window and shouted up, If we can get the keys, I know how to drive this thing.
That was one getaway vehicle that never would have crossed my mind. But it would allow us to drive right over the zombies, like a farmer harvesting grain and corn. Claire waved to me.
Have Lucas or Nick dangle you down. Get the keys and we're home free.
Wait, Lucas said. You don't even know if there's gas in that thing.
Yeah, I said. What if it doesn't even work? I'd hate to be stuck down there. Maybe we should just pull the girls up here and figure out another plan.
Let's see if the harvester works, Nick said. If it doesn't, we'll move on to Plan B.
Plan B? Aren't we on Plan J or K by now? I said.
Lucas clapped my shoulder.
Your brother's right. Let's see if it even runs.
My brother motioned me over to the far wall.
This is lined up exactly where the keys are hanging.
He grabbed the axe from me and started chopping away.
Who's going down?
Lucas asked.
I met his gaze. Me. I'm the lightest.
Okay.
Nick hesitantly agreed. Ever his little brother's keeper,
Lucas and I will hold on to your feet.
I swallowed hard, and though I felt nervous, I nodded. Just don't let go.
My brother rolled his eyes.
Have some faith in me, will ya?
When Nick and Lucas dropped me into the hole through the ceiling by my legs, my ankles hurt like crazy. Blood rushed to my head. I was sure I was going to have a heart attack as they lowered me down. Though I reached out as far as I could, I still couldn't touch the keys.
Lower!
I shouted. I glanced into the harvester. Jackie and Claire had rolled down the window and were firing at every zombie around me. Nick and Lucas lowered me a bit more, but instead of getting anywhere, I was clobbered on the head by some dead goon's fist. I screamed and flailed my arms at them, but they kept trying to grab me. Lucas and Nick swung me by the legs, using the momentum to maneuver me closer to the key's hook, like a human pendulum. Suddenly, my head collided hard with a zombie's skull. The guy must have been 7 feet tall. Lucky for me, my bone head knocked him down. My fingers curled around the key ring, and I snatched it off the wall.
Got him!
I shouted.
Pull me up!
Awesome!
Lucas said. As they slowly pulled me back up, the 7-foot zombie got back up, grabbed a fistful of hair on each side of my head, and started to pull my face toward his. His chattering mouth, dripping greenish bile, was just about to bite down over my nose, so I jabbed a key deep into his eye. He fell to the ground, shrieking, with several strands of my hair still clutched in his rotting fists. As I was hauled upward, the girls cheered, and I gave them 2 thumbs up while clinging to the keys. It took a minute for me to comprehend that I'd just been hanging upside down like a bull in an abattoir. I had no idea what had possessed me to volunteer for such a thing. Lucas slapped me on the back.
Man, that was gutsy!
I held up the keys, dizziness washing over me. Let's just figure out a way to get to the harvester with the girls. Dropping to my knees, I glanced around. Nick grabbed the keys for me.
Hey!
I said.
There's no reason for you to go down there again if that harvester won't even start up, he said. I'll go check it out. Just cover me.
Lucas dropped a pile of dead rats at my feet.
Look what I found.
What the heck?
I asked, disgusted.
Check this out.
He grabbed one by the tail and threw it down on the other side of the room. Straight away, the zombies ran over and started fighting over the rodent. Lucas threw more while Nick fired a few shots. All the zombies swarming by the harvester door dropped one by one as I squeezed off one headshot after another. Nick jumped down into the room as Lucas and I shot any zombie that dared to get within a 3-foot radius of him. Jackie and Claire covered him as well, then opened the door. I sighed in relief when I saw Nick rush inside, glad that his crazy plan hadn't gotten him killed, and that it might have just saved all our lives. A humming sound filled the air, and my eyes widened. Yes! The harvester works! Before the zombies rushed in, Jackie and Claire had removed the rotating paddles and elevated the deck blade a few feet. The girls were smart, and that was another thing I liked about them. The teeth on the machine looked exactly like the giant teeth on a megalodon shark, 2 rows moving back and forth like scissors. Nick rolled down the window and waved us over to him. Lucas and I threw down every dead rat we could find as a temporary distraction. It worked well. While the zombies were distracted by their rodent treats, we jumped down. The others nailed any zombie that got too close, enabling Lucas and I to rush over and squeeze into the harvester cab. A wave of relief washed through me. Nothing made me happier than seeing Jackie's face. Claire leaned over and locked the door, and then Jackie put the machine into drive. We jerked into motion, and soon we were lumbering forward.
Thanks for saving our butts,
I said over the whirring machine.
So I saved you this time? I like hearing a guy say that, Jackie said.
The army of the undead rushed toward us as the Thrasher whirred to life. Blood, bone, and chunks of flesh flew to every corner of the barn as the machine pushed forward toward the smashed doors. Once we were outside, I couldn't believe how many more zombies were there. We were in the middle of nowhere, and I had no idea where they were all coming from. Jackie dropped the hammer, and soon the machine roared forward, plowing right through them, shredding their bodies like wet newspaper. I hoped the blades wouldn't clog. If they did, we'd be in big trouble. I looked out the back window. It was amazing to me that zombies with missing or crushed limbs still managed to limp or crawl away, even though they were mangled beyond recognition. One of the zombies was nothing more than a torso, a head, and an arm only to the elbow. Yet it still managed to drag itself along with nothing more than a single stump of shredded flesh. I shuddered and turned away, but then a flash of red caught my eye. "Stop!" I said. "There's the gas can we dropped when the zombies first ambushed us." Lucas glanced around.
"It looks pretty clear. Let's get it then," Nick said. "We don't want to have to stop any time soon."
"I totally agree." Jackie stopped the harvester. "We're not going to be able to squeeze this big monster between the barn and the store. One of us is going to have to make a run for it." She was right. The buildings were too close together. I scanned the area and saw that the gas can was only about 50 feet away. Opening the door, I jumped out before Nick or Lucas could stop me. There weren't many zombies around, and I was thankful for that. Most of them were in the barn, still devouring rats or looking for us. My heart was racing as my mind replayed that awful moment when we'd first been ambushed in that exact same spot. I shuddered and picked up the can, knowing we desperately needed that gas. If we got one thing out of that nightmare, I hoped we could leave triumphantly with our gleaming red prize in hand. Everyone clapped and cheered as I sprinted back and climbed into the machine. As we drove around the store and back to our pickup truck in the driveway, I sat up straight, watching anxiously. There were more stray zombies there, but nothing we couldn't handle. Jackie turned off the harvester.
"Let's make a quick dash to the truck, to freedom."
Lucas whipped out the keys. "I'll start it up while you guys jump in the back."
"Sounds like a plan," I said,
climbing down from the farm machine. I pulled out my axe and started swinging at every deadhead that even looked at us funny. We all rushed inside the back of the pickup truck. Lucas put the pedal to the metal, and with a squeal of spinning tires, we were soon speeding out of the driveway, sending a spray of dirt and rocks into the air behind us. I pounded on the glass and was relieved to see Val sleeping in the front seat.
"Hey," she said in a groggy voice when she slowly opened the window between us. She looked very pale and confused, but still hopeful, and she was wearing a faint smile. I turned and smiled at her. She was still alive and breathing, and I couldn't have been happier. For a moment, I thought I might never see my sister again, even though she slept through the whole horrible thing. Val began to cough and sputter, but once she regained her breath, she whispered,
"How long was I asleep? Did I miss anything?"
Lucas chuckled.
"Kind of," I said, "but don't worry. We took care of it, and everything's going to be fine."
Jackie smirked at me, and I couldn't help but laugh. Soon, we were all rolling with laughter as the barn slowly faded into the distance.
Chapter 10.
Lucas had been driving for a few hours when he slammed on the brakes.
"Check it out,"
Jackie said, pointing. After recovering from whiplash, I turned to look and gasped. Zombies were blocking the road in front of us for what seemed like miles. Biting my lip, I glanced at my brother.
"No way are we getting through that roadblock, big bro."
I hoped he wouldn't ask Lucas to attempt to plow through, because there was no way we would stand a chance racing through that vast sea of undead.
"Turn around!"
Claire yelled, banging on the window to get Lucas's attention.
"I don't want to fight those herds for the umpteenth time."
"You ain't gotta tell me twice."
Lucas yanked the gear shift into reverse, and the truck shot backward. He peered out of the rear window as the tires screeched.
"That lucky Tahoe must have gotten past here before those bags of bones arrived."
"The jerk,"
Jackie said, as the Jeep raced down the dirt road. Claire stared at a road map that was whipping around in the wind.
"I say we go east, then loop back around."
Jackie shook her head.
"No way. That'll take us 2 or 3 days out of the way."
"And it'll give Tahoe a huge jump ahead of us,"
Nick said.
"We don't have that kind of time,"
Lucas protested through the open glass window, shaking his head.
"Then what do we do?"
Jackie's lips pressed into grim lines.
"No way are we getting past that herd."
Val stuck her head out the window. Tahoe's signal is still. Dusk is approaching, so he must be stopping for the night.
We should too, Jackie said. Not for the entire night. Just for a few hours until this army passes. You know they don't stay anywhere for long.
They'll be gone in no time, looking for food.
She's right, I said. It's better to wait it out a few hours rather than going 3 days out of our way.
How about we hole up in that gym we saw about a few miles back? Jackie asked. It's isolated and on a flat plain with no trees. It'd be perfect.
I think that's a great idea, I said.
I like it, Lucas said, impressed.
Good. Then turn the truck around.
Nick met my gaze, sensing my fear. Not of zombies, but for our sister.
We'll catch Tahoe, I promise.
I nodded. We'd sleep for a few hours, and hopefully the zombies would be gone by then so we could pass. I was confident they'd leave. With no known food source, since we intended to stay out of their sight and smell, their hunger would drive them on. We took a vote, and we all decided that was the best course of action. I breathed a sigh of relief when we finally pulled into the parking lot of Joe's Fitness and Beyond.
Looks like a small gym, I said.
Good. We'll be able to secure it in no time, Nick said.
Hey, Dean. I need you to watch Val. The rest of us will be right back.
I rolled my eyes. I hated when my brother acted like the big man on campus and told me what to do. Jackie stayed behind with me, though, which made it tolerable to be on babysitting duty. After a few minutes, we were starting to get worried, but Nick finally motioned that the coast was clear. I scooped Val up from the back seat.
She looked worse, if that was possible, with green flesh peeling off her face and arms in thick layers.
When Jackie and I went inside, I could hear the sound of punching bags bouncing on their chains as I opened the door.
I laughed when I saw Claire doing her best Rocky Balboa impression.
Harder, Lucas said. Punch it like you mean it,
Nick chimed in.
Use your anger. Focus on it. Give it everything you can feel.
She rammed the bag, and both guys cheered her on.
The gym was far bigger than it looked from the outside. A boxing ring sat in one end, and mirrors hung on the opposite wall for shadow boxing. 5 heavy bags hung from the ceiling.
Lucas walked over and handed Jackie a pair of boxing gloves. He had a sparring mitt and was ready to roll.
Let's see how hard you can hit me.
Don't cry when I pound you, Jackie said.
Love the attitude, little lady. You're gonna need it if you want to stay alive.
Lucas, come on, I said. Jackie met my gaze. No, it's okay. I want to learn how to fight. Next time, I want to make sure I have your back.
Hey!
Lucas yelled over the sound of the punching bag.
Did you lock the door behind you?
I'll go do it now,
I said, lying Val on a green tumbling mat. I hurried back and locked up, and then quickly returned to find Jackie and Lucas throwing punches at each other, and this time not of the verbal variety.
Okay, so how do I knock someone out cold? Jackie asked her new sensei.
Aim for the throat, Lucas said. When they see the punch coming, they'll automatically drop their head,
bringing their chin in line with your fist.
I can do that.
Lucas held up his hands.
Good. If you want to piss someone off real bad, hit him hard in the nose.
What if I just want to get away quick?
Hit him in the throat, right by the carotid artery.
These strikes will knock the wind out of your opponent, allowing you a much easier escape from a bad situation. If you can't reach this point of contact, go for the sternum or the kidneys.
What if I'm knocked to the ground?
Strike in the middle of the inner or outer thigh. It's not as vulnerable of an area,
but these pressure points are very sensitive. If you hit hard enough, they can surprise an opponent and drop him to the ground right next to you, giving you some time to get up.
Jackie shot me a look. Your friend knows a lot. I smiled.
He's the best.
When my brother yelled out my name, I spun around.
What? Get over here and let's see what you got,
he said, standing in the boxing ring, sporting a pair of red gloves.
I wasn't in the mood, but I didn't want to look like a wimp in front of Jackie and Claire.
I crawled in through the ropes and yanked some gloves on. Nick shot me a cocky smile as he danced around the ring, the jerk. I knew he was only trying to impress Claire,
or maybe he was just blowing off steam over the Tahoe thing.
I shuffled toward him as he put his dukes up. As I approached, he gave me one of his ridiculous cocky smiles, egging me on.
You can't win if you don't punch, he taunted.
I dropped my shoulder to wind up for the first blow. Nick smiled.
The sign of a true beginner.
Anger bubbled up inside me.
Maybe everything was hitting me at once. I don't know. I only know that I hated how my brother bossed me around. So what if he's been fighting zombies for months now? I can too, now that I'm 18. I'll enlist in the army, too. I would have loved to see my brother's face if I'd have told him that. Nick thought he was all that. And I was ready to bring him down a notch or two, ready to wrangle that self-proclaimed alpha dog and show him who was boss. As I ran at him to throw a fist, the idiot smacked me in the jaw. My head jerked back, but I managed to get my footing. Then eyeballed him, putting him off guard. I put my whole body into it, threw another punch, and missed, giving him the chance to drop a right-hander against my left cheek. Boy, did it burn and throb! Before I knew it hit me, he came at me with the southpaw, followed by the right seconds later. How the heck did he learn that, I wondered. But he didn't stop there. Next, he popped me in the nose. And then, in the fraction of a second, he hit me in the gut. You see that? Nick said. An untrained opponent knows nothing about breathing right when taking a hit. I doubled over, unable to reply. So, one shot to the stomach could be more effective than a shot to the face, he continued. Come on, Dean, said Lucas. I've taught you better than that. Also, never forget about the hand that's not doing the punching, Nick said. Beginners tend to forget that. One hand is supposed to be guarding while the other is punching, especially while throwing the jab with the left hand. You have to make a conscious effort to keep your hands up where they're supposed to be. I threw another punch and missed again. Crap! It was so humiliating. Red-faced, I set my teeth and aimed again. But my fist just shot into thin air, and I slipped on my butt. Don't throw all your energy into one punch. It's all about jabs. My face was burning hot, not so much from the impact of my brother's hard blows, but from the humiliation of him winning. On top of that, the thought of those zombies biting our sister made my blood boil. I was mad at Nick, mad at everything. Then, a growl escaped from deep within my chest, like that of a wild animal. I let my hand fly with a sharp jab to the side of Nick's head. I enjoyed it, and hit him again, first with the left, then right paw. It felt exhilarating. I didn't know I had it in me, but bad tempers must have run in our family. It was in our DNA. Crap! Am I having a breakdown? Is all the stress of missing my old home and friends taking a toll on me? Or am I just in some do-or-die state of mind? Not quite myself. I knew the cure that would save our sister's life was in Tahoe's possession, and we had to get out of there and get it for her. That made me even more anxious, and I had an urge to show Nick who was boss around there. We needed to get something done, not hide there like scared little mice. As Nick scrambled to his feet from my last knockout blow, I shot him a cocky smile. He came at me, and I bashed him again with a bomb even Mike Tyson would have been proud of. Nick fell backward, down for the count. But I was relentless. I squatted down next to him and banged the palm of my hand on the floor and started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He didn't get up, so I leapt up, punching the air. I'm the winner! Now, let's get out of here and see if those zombies left yet. Nick opened his eyes and stared at me.
What happened?
I pulled him up and patted his back. You lost, champ. I said. Now I give the orders, and I say we're out of here. Nick rubbed his forehead.
What are you going on about? Did you knock me out?
Lucas clapped my shoulder.
That was awesome.
Claire reached out her hand and helped Nick up. Jackie handed me a white towel, and I wiped the sweat off my face. You showed your brother who was boss. I like that, she whispered in my ear. I grinned. It was a big moment between me and my brother, my chance to show him that I wasn't a baby anymore. Our nerves were on edge, but we had more important things to worry about. Come on, I said. We're leaving. I know you're anxious to see if the herd is gone, but I assure you it probably isn't, Lucas said. Listen, I'll go take a drive and assess the situation. If they're still there, we'll have to hole up here for the night.
Okay, I said.
I didn't like the idea, but we really didn't have a choice. Sending Lucas out to check was a safer alternative than all of us rushing out into a hungry horde of brain slurpers. Chapter 11. Since nobody could sleep, we trained some more. Only this time, I did some of the teaching. Still, I have to admit that my brother and Lucas showed me and the girls some great moves.
The girls wanted to know how to defend themselves, and I knew that was definitely a step in the right direction. While everyone else practiced and sparred, Val slept without making a peep. Lucas drove back to the zombie crossing and returned to report that it was still overrun, so we had no choice but to bed down for the night. We found sleeping bags piled up in the office and decided to put them to good use. We laid them in the boxing ring to make a bed, then all passed out.
A while later, moans jolted me awake. Moonlight streamed in through the windows, and I peered around for a zombie, my heart racing. I reached for my gun. Just as I was getting ready to wake everyone, I noticed Jackie tossing and turning in her sleep. That was when I realized that the moaning noises were coming from her. I walked over and softly touched her arm. She sat up, gasping.
What? What? Dean!
Her long hair tumbled around her face.
Sorry to wake you. You were, moaning.
I was having a horrible nightmare.
I held my arms out. Come here, babe. She nuzzled into my shoulder, and I wrapped my arm around her. I held her for a few minutes before she said,
I miss everyone I lost. How can you explain the pain to anyone? I always thought life was a struggle, but out here, it's about survival. You just survive. You live. You exist. You're there, but you're really not. There are no words to describe it.
I know, I consoled.
I know I have to live with the scars, but I wonder if the pain will ever go away. It just hurts so bad, Dean.
Like they say, time heals all wounds.
Yeah, maybe. But bear in mind they said that before the zombie apocalypse.
Right, I agreed, knowing she had a point.
Anyway, how are you doing?
She asked. I'm worried about Val. What if we can't catch up to Tahoe?
We will. Tahoe is staying in one place for the night.
His signal is still, and we're right behind him, she said.
I'm sorry if I'm kind of being a drag. I mean, the last few days have been a whirlwind for me,
she said softly, so as not to wake the others. I understand the whirlwind thing, I said. I was living a normal life pretty much, and now, well, all of this.
Yeah, me too. Our lives were stable, and then, bing, bang, boom, all of this.
She let out a long sigh.
We have a lot in common, you and me.
That we do. Cupping her face, I could see every detail in the moonlight. She was absolutely stunning with her petal-smooth skin, long eyelashes, and big brown eyes. She touched my hand that was resting on her face.
In the last 3 days, I've escaped death way too many times. What does that mean?
I swept a stray strand of hair out of her eyes. That you're destined for something great. She smiled and gazed into my eyes.
You're so positive. I love that about you, Dean. Even with all the gloom around us, I choose to be happy every day. Or at least I try.
You're amazing. Takes one to know one, I said, meaning it. I realized at that very moment how deeply I cared about her. Jackie ran a hand through her hair, still contemplating something deeply, but she clammed up. You know you can tell me anything, right, Jackie? I coaxed.
Well, it's just, I can't understand why Claire and I were the only ones to escape in our group. One second we were laughing and telling jokes, and the next I was fighting for my life. It's just consuming me. Survivor guilt, I think the Shrinks call it. They deserve to live just as much as I did. Why did I survive? Is it fair that I lived and they didn't? Who decides that stuff anyway, and why?
You chose a way out that the others didn't.
I should have gone back and tried to save them.
If you had, you'd be dead right now, I said, wiping a tear from her face.
Deep down I know that, but it's still hard to accept the loss. Though time passes and memories fade, I'll never forget them.
That's okay, you don't have to, I said. In a way, you remembering them honors them.
Maybe, but still, none of it makes sense. And then we escaped death yet again. If you had left us back at the glass house, we'd be dead. What were the chances we'd run into you?
Fate, I whispered.
And what about the motorcycle and the beach? We barely escaped.
Hey, it's not every day a guy gets to ride down the alley on a Harley with a hot babe. She playfully slapped me.
Come on, be serious.
I'm tired of serious. I've almost forgotten what it's like to laugh.
You have a wonderful laugh. That's all you did when you drank all that beer at the airport tower. It was contagious.
The beer or the laughing? She laughed right back at me.
Both, I guess,
she said, her eyes lighting up with a fond memory. I smiled. We did have a good time, didn't we?
It was magical. I don't think I've laughed so much in a long time. I wish I could dream about that.
But instead I keep dreaming about walking across that board from the house to the barn. Except in my nightmare I fall off and...
I squeeze her hand tightly, stopping her from recounting the horror.
I'm here for you, Jackie.
Thanks,
she said, looking down at the floor.
What is it?
I asked.
Something else is bothering you.
It may seem stupid to you, but it kind of freaks me out that I used a gun. My dad would flip. He's so against guns and all that. It's all so much to take in. And I swear I keep freaking out every time I hear a noise. I keep thinking a whole herd of those things out there is going to try and break into the gym. Like that scene at the end of Night of the Living Dead, when they started coming in the house.
That's only normal, I whispered, after everything we've been through.
My hands keep shaking, and I can't stop thinking about my family back in New York. Do you think they're okay? I wonder if they even know I'm alive.
We just have to keep fighting and live another day. Tomorrow isn't promised. None of this is easy. I don't know if my parents are alive either, or whether Val will live another day. My voice wavered as I cupped her face again. All we can do now, in this moment, is stay strong and lean on each other.
I'm not going to give up. Not ever,
she swore, softly touching my wrist.
How's that cut healing?
It's scabbed over already. I know it's a little gross, but I think I'll live.
I'm just glad you escaped from that hole with nothing but that cut, she said. When you told us you were stuck down there with the zombies, I about freaked.
Me too, I said, not wanting to recall it. I was desperate to change the subject, tired of talking about the undead. So, tell me about your grandparents' farm. You drove that harvester like a champ, she chuckled.
I did, didn't I? The farm was wonderful. They had chickens, cows, pigs, and horses, my favorite. I used to ride this black stallion bareback through a green meadow covered in wildflowers. I'll never forget how the wind whipped through my hair.
Talking about her childhood memories calmed her down.
When she laughed, her face lit up. She was so adorable that I just couldn't help myself.
Without even thinking about it, I pulled her close and kissed her. As she slid her hands up my chest, she grasped me behind the neck. My heart raced. I had never wanted anybody as much as I wanted her. She slid her hands through my hair as I rolled my tongue across her lips. Murmuring my name, she went weak in my arms as we shared a slow, passionate kiss. Sliding my hands down her body, I kissed the soft skin of her neck. Then, just like that, she pulled away from me.
As great as this is, we'd better get some sleep. We'll be on the road in no time.
That was my cue. She wasn't ready to go any farther with me yet, and she was right. It was best not to rush things. I knew it as well as she did, but I couldn't help getting carried away. I snuggled next to her, and she whispered,
"Good night,"
before we fell asleep in each other's arms. Chapter 12. Morning came without incident. It was nice to know we could actually stay the night somewhere without the place being ransacked by zombies. Tahoe's signal remained motionless, so we had to assume he either hadn't gotten up yet, or the zombies had enjoyed a delicious traitor omelet for breakfast. I zombie-sat Val, while the others made sure it was safe to venture out of the gym where, in spite of the stale smell, we had managed to get a good night's sleep. Staring across the gym at the punching bags, I squeezed my eyes shut. The possibility of losing Val hurt so much. I looked at her, sleeping soundly, curled up in a ball like a tired kitten. She had been feverish the night before, but her skin had cooled down noticeably, and her heavy gasps for air had slowed into shallow breaths, signaling that the virus was finally giving her a few hours of peace. I looked away as my thoughts consumed me once more. If we don't get that serum soon, we're going to lose her. It wasn't news or a sudden realization, yet the knowledge still hurt. The emotional turmoil tugged at my heart, making me want to hurl and shout at the top of my lungs, "Why did this have to happen to my sister? Why this century? Why our world?" Jackie came from behind and touched my arm, startling me. She knew the anguish I was going through, for I had shared my thoughts with her the night before.
"We'll get that cure back, no matter what," she said softly.
I nodded grimly, wanting to share her optimism. Part of me believed wholeheartedly that we'd save Val, but lingering doubts banged around inside my head. Even if Tahoe managed to escape the frenzied flock of zombies, there was no guarantee that we'd find him easily or in time to save Val. And what if he sees us coming? What if he manages to evade us once more? Val was slowly but steadily turning. If we missed that fragile moment between her life and death, she'd be gone to us forever. I nodded as I scooped my sister up and exited through the doors.
then gently placed her on the bed we'd set up inside the pickup truck, where we could see her and act quickly should something change about her condition. Nick had come up with the idea. He said the cool air would do her good and keep her health from worsening, buying us a few more hours. The unspoken reason was for our safety. The sunlight cast a murky green glow over her skin, and her breathing morphed into small, animalistic pants as droplets of sweat rolled down her forehead.
Nick, I said, she looks horrible.
I know, he answered grimly. He was the suffer and silent type, but the worried lines running across his face made what was going on inside more than obvious. His gaze shot over to Jackie and Claire, who were sitting in the bed of the truck next to Val. Claire was wiping off Val's sweaty face with a damp washcloth, while Jackie held her hand.
Claire, Jackie,
Nick said, I want you to ride up front with Lucas, okay?
But Val needs me,
Claire said. Nick cleared his throat. Dean and I would like to have a private moment with our sister.
I hope you understand.
Of course it was true, but I knew there was also hidden meaning behind his words. Val had hung on for as long as she could. Our sister's turning was inevitable, and close. She was going to change, and he wanted Claire and Jackie safe inside the truck when she did. Claire touched Nick's shoulder.
If you need anything,
he nodded, but didn't answer.
Claire lingered a tad longer, then left with Jackie, and they squeezed inside with Lucas. The more I thought about it, the more I was glad that it was just the two of us in the back with her. We were her family, and we would be with her to the end. Just like family is supposed to.
My throat tightened as emotions welled up inside.
I just wanted that girl back. The one I'd met the day we'd crashed into that zombie nightmare. That spunky being full of spirit, just like Mom.
I didn't want to lose Val. I couldn't.
And I vowed we wouldn't. But to keep that commitment, we needed to find Tahoe. Lucas stomped on the gas pedal and pulled onto the main road. The warm, gusting wind blew through my hair as the smell of wet grass and rotting cornfields drifted all around us. The sun disappeared, and the sky grew dark, signaling an approaching storm, while the pickup raced down the deserted highway. I gripped the side tightly as we wobbled over every bump and jolt, always keeping my gaze on Val, trying to be sure she wasn't too uncomfortable. After a little while, she opened her eyes and met my gaze.
"Dean," she whispered between gasping breaths. Tell Mom and Dad I love them, and then I'd never blame them for giving me away. I will,
I said, choking back tears.
And don't blame yourself for this.
My eyes welled up, and I squeezed her hand. Even though we barely knew each other, I felt as though she could peer right into my soul.
I should have done more. I'm so sorry, Val.
My voice quivered as emotion rushed through my body.
You did everything, and more. I couldn't have asked for better brothers.
Dean's right. It wasn't enough,
Nick said.
Meeting you and Nick changed my life in the short time I had the chance to know the two of you.
She took another gasping breath.
The lengths you've gone through to try and save me have been heroic, admirable.
She grabbed Nick's hand, then mine.
You can't. Don't live in the past, boys.
I pushed a strand of hair out of her eyes as she paused.
Appreciate your life. Stop complaining about what you don't have and start living with what you do have.
She coughed, then continued.
If you fall down 5 times, get up 6. Despite the struggles you're facing, never let go or give up. Always keep hope alive.
Always, Nick said, holding her hand. Lightning streaked across the dark sky. Just seconds before a loud clap of thunder rumbled overhead.
If you can't save me, at least find the cure and save others.
A trembling cough escaped her throat, and her eyes glazed over for a moment, as though she were losing it again.
We could save millions. Take our world back. Help!
A tear rolled down my face as she closed her eyes and slipped into unconsciousness. Her words stayed with me for a long time, and I wondered if I would ever see my sister normal again. Everything hinged on us finding Tahoe. The wind whipped through my hair as a blur of scenery passed before me. Val gasped and fought for every breath. Every time I thought she'd taken her last breath, she proved me wrong, making me weirdly proud of her. She was a fighter, and I hoped she'd win the game. The girls and I had never witnessed a turning, and I couldn't imagine a loved one changing into a freak who'd want nothing more than to feast on my brains. The whole thing made me feel nauseous, but it also scared me. I didn't know if I could ever hurt her, even if I had to. Nick sucked in a trembling breath. It was all very hard on him. He always felt the need to play tough guy, but his emotions were getting the best of him. We both wished we had the cure in our hands. Even if we did possess the precious serum, though, I think he doubted that the doc's formula would work. He scooped Val up and held her in his arms, then shielded her from the wind with the blanket. Freezing rain poured down, but I didn't care. A deeper pain tore through me at the sight of Val's sudden ashy color. Her breathing quickened for a second or two, and then, ever so slowly, it stopped. My heart thumped harder, and hope filled me that it would be just like before, that she would breathe again. When 30 seconds passed, nothing happened. Panic grabbed a hold of me.
Val!
I asked, my voice raspy, broken. She didn't answer. My fingers wandered to her neck to check for a pulse, but I felt none.
Val!
I said, this time louder, my voice filled with terror. She looked so peaceful and calm, as if she was sleeping. I scooped her up from Nick as tears welled in my eyes.
It's gonna be okay, sis,
I whispered.
I promise.
I don't know why I made a promise I wasn't sure if I could keep. It just seemed like the right thing to do. Even if the cure didn't work, or we couldn't get it back from Tahoe and had to end her life, I knew she'd be in a better place. Nick agreed to do it because there was no way I could. I refused, even if it would mean sending her to a better place. How could I ever go back to our parents and tell them I shot their only daughter?
That's it. She's gone,
Nick whispered. I shook my head, unwilling to believe him.
No, just wait. She'll come around.
Lightning flashed, followed by a roll of thunder that rocked the air, as if the whole universe was angry about the death of our sister. Rain dripped down Nick's hair and face.
She's gone, Dean.
He punched the side of the truck.
I can't believe she's dead.
I cradled her close, blinking through the rain. Wet drops rolled across her green, tattered skin. I pulled the blanket up so I could protect her face.
What are we going to do?
Nick ran a hand through his wet hair, as if in thought.
You can't shoot her,
I snapped. I don't care what she made us promise back at that airport control tower.
Of course. But she's gonna change eventually. You have to understand that.
I glared up at him.
No!
I knew it was going to happen, but facing it seemed scary, numbing, and surreal. Nick grabbed some rope from the corner of the truck bed, the rope we'd used to hold the zombie that Claire had shot. We'll have to tie her up, he said. It seemed so cold, so heartless, but I knew it had to be done.
You need to put her down and get away, Nick said. That's not our sister anymore.
But it'll be our sister again,
I said,
as soon as we get the formula.
He nodded slowly. I kissed her on the head.
Everything's gonna be okay, Val.
I gently laid her down as Nick started to tie her hands behind her back.
You said the cure was supposed to be given once she became a zombie,
Nick said over the howl of the wind. Can she be a zombie for a while, or does it have to be given to her immediately?
I don't know. Doc didn't say. He just said she had to be a zombie. I never planned on watching Val turn into one without having the cure in my hands to even try.
I clenched my fists as Nick tied the ropes around her arms.
I hate doing this to her,
I said. He tugged at his wet clothes and turned his gaze to the passing scenery.
I know, but you know we have to.
What other choice do we have?
We'll find Tahoe and get the vials back, I said, determined. We are going to save her.
A long hiss made me jump. I shuddered as I stared into Val's wide eyes, devoid of any life or understanding as to what was going on. For a minute, the world around me froze. She looked so different, so evil. I didn't recognize her, and she certainly didn't recognize me as she eyed me hungrily. Chapter 13. After a brief heavy shower of icy rain rolling down my skin and soaking my clothes, the clouds cleared, and the sun peeked out. Shivering, I wiped the droplets from my face and let the brilliant sun rays warm my bare skin as I gazed up at the clear blue sky. I jerked as the truck suddenly slipped to the right, and the sound of the rubber tires slapping against the wet asphalt soon snapped me back to reality. Lucas didn't seem to mind, and just kept speeding down the highway like a madman, oblivious to what had just happened only a few feet away. on the other side of the partition window. He and the girls had no idea that Val had just died and come back to life as a zombie. I'd seen it with my own eyes, and even I couldn't believe it. Sitting in the back of the pickup truck, grief and anger ripped through every fiber of my being. I wrung my hands in my lap, unsure of what to do or what to believe anymore. I wasn't staring at my sister, but at a monster. I could see every vein in her face, spreading out like a spider web through her translucent skin. Thrashing, she struggled in her bindings. Her beautiful blue eyes were now glazed over, white and glassy, sunken and hollow. But what freaked me out the most was the way she kept hissing through her yellow teeth, then savagely biting into her tattered skin, as though she might just gnaw her own arm off if she couldn't devour one of ours. Nick pounded on the glass divider with his fists to get the girls' and Lucas's attention. I tuned out as he delivered the horrible news in a monosyllabic way, choked by the emotions he desperately tried to keep in check. From the corner of my eye, I caught Jackie's horrified expression, and then, just a few seconds later, the truck stopped abruptly, jolting us in our seats. Lucas and the girls hurried to offer us their condolences, uttering the right words with the right amount of compassion, though I don't think one word actually really reached me. Everything was a blur. The soft wind that had begun to blow at some point, the chirping birds in the nearby trees, and my heart drumming in my ears. At some point, it began to drizzle again, then stopped. The sun peeked through the dark clouds, bathing me in a warm sensation that felt strange and surreal. I cringed at the beauty in the aftermath of such horror. Nick shot Claire and Jackie a thankful look, but I could tell from his furrowed brows that the emotion was becoming too much for him to handle. "We appreciate it," I said to the girls, then grabbed my brother's arm and guided him toward the truck. We had wasted a lot of time and needed to get back on the road. Sticking around wasn't safe, not to mention that we still had to find Tahoe. As long as the vials were missing, Nick was a ticking bomb, ready to explode, and no amount of sweet words and compassionate looks was going to appease him. Suddenly, he broke away from me. "I hope you know this is all your fault," he said to Claire. She gasped, her hand flying to her mouth. "How can you blame me?" Even though his voice was calm, his face was a mask of anger, his eyes glowing with fury. I had never seen him so angry, yet composed in my life, and it scared the crap out of me. "It's not anyone's fault," I said sharply, in the hope my tone might calm him down. I was grieving too, but I didn't take it out on the people around me. Nick took a hissing breath and let it out slowly. A few moments of silence passed, and I almost thought he'd regained his control when he opened his mouth again. "If we'd left Tahoe on that deserted road like I wanted to, we'd have the cure in our hands right now, and everything would have gone according to plan. My sister wouldn't have to suffer." He met my gaze, as though waiting for me to back him up. I pressed my mouth into a thin line and kept quiet. Even though he had a point, I wasn't going to add fuel to the fire. What was done was done. "We'd be giving it to her, Dean, right now, this very second. She could already be healed." His voice rose an octave. When I didn't answer, he continued, "But no! Instead, we had to tend to Tahoe's wounds, to supposedly do the right thing and take care of a jerk who is friends with Earl, the dude that threw Val over the balcony into a crowd of hungry zombies." "I'm sorry," I whispered, knowing my words wouldn't do any good. I didn't know how to comfort Nick. I didn't even know how to comfort myself. I just stared in a daze. How could things go so wrong? Lucas pulled Claire and Jackie aside and started to whisper. I craned my neck to catch their dialogue. "It might be best if you get back in the truck and drive. When Nick gets like this, it's best just to give him his space and leave him alone until he sorts out his issues. Just give him some privacy." Then Lucas shot me a quick look, and I nodded, thankful.
"Yeah, you're right," Claire said. "I didn't know this would happen."
Lucas nodded slowly.
"I know that, and deep down, Nick knows it too. As I said, just give him some time. Until recently, he didn't even know he had a sister, so it's only natural that he'd take her loss badly." "You didn't know any of this would happen?" Nick yelled over at Claire. "You didn't know that picking up a criminal would turn out disastrous?"
I nudged him, hissing. "What good is fighting going to get us?"
"We were only trying to do the right thing," Jackie insisted. "Trust me, if I could go back in time and change things, I would. We all would.
Your little Girl Scout act cost my sister her life, Nick said, kicking the side of the truck. If she doesn't come back from this, I'll never forgive you.
There's still a chance, but you need to think straight, Jackie said. Instead of arguing, we need to get our butts back on the road, like right now.
Lucas hopped into the truck bed. Jackie's right. Let's get a move on. Claire's driving, he said. I want to be back here.
Why?
Nick asked.
Lucas shrugged.
Because I need fresh air. Don't you?
I knew that wasn't the real reason.
He wanted to make sure Val didn't hurt us.
Dean and I don't need you. We can handle Val, Nick said. When she turns violent, which you know she will, you're going to need all the help you can get.
Lucas looked down at his tracker.
Hey, our medicine man's on the move again, heading north.
I slapped Nick's shoulder. We're going to save her. Trust me on this one. We're all counting on that vial. But if we want to get our hands on it, we have to go after Tahoe. It seemed strange that I was acting as the voice of reason, as that was usually Nick's role. I could tell by his confused expression how rattled he was. Claire looked over her shoulder to make sure we were all in, and as soon as Nick was settled next to Lucas, Val, and me, she hit the gas and took off. My stomach turned, and my nerves were on edge. Lucas still had a signal, so we knew Tahoe couldn't be far away. Hundreds of ideas on how to get him raced through my harried mind, desperate to be put to the test. But I had a hard time focusing on any of them with Val constantly growling at me. She struggled in her bindings, growing more furious and hungry by the second. I didn't want to think about what might happen if she broke free. Don't worry, Val, I said, inching closer.
I'm gonna save you, if it's the last thing I ever do. She lurched at me, her jaw snapping. Are you crazy? My brother asked. I told you to stay away from her.
My heart raced in my chest. Seeing her like that was more than I could bear, but I knew I had to stay strong. She needed me, whether she realized it or not.
Lucas held her down while Nick wrapped a red handkerchief over her mouth, then shrugged a burlap sack over her head. My jaw dropped. Is that really necessary?
It'll confuse her, Nick said. When they can't see, they're temporarily disoriented. We can't chance anyone else getting bitten.
I nodded, trusting him.
He must have really known his stuff, because Val suddenly grew quiet and quit thrashing around, like parakeets in a cage when the cover is put on. She just moaned and let out a breathy growl.
Hey!
Lucas looked up from the tracker.
The signal stopped. We're right on his butt.
He stood and knocked on the glass. Jackie slid open the divider.
I need the map,
Lucas said. She fumbled around in the glove compartment and handed it to him. As he studied the map, Lucas's eyes narrowed.
What?
I asked.
By my calculations, Tahoe stopped in a town called Kingsville.
Nick handed the map back to Jackie.
Kingsville, huh? Sounds like the perfect place for a royal pain in the butt.
We're en route to catch his sorry self, Jackie said. Why would he risk his life by stopping in a town in broad daylight? I asked.
Nick shrugged.
Maybe the jeep broke down, or his wound got infected.
I don't know, and I honestly don't care. All that matters is that we finally have a chance to catch up with him and get back what he stole from us.
Lucas nodded.
You're right. I don't care what happened to him. If the zombies got him, good. Karma or whatever. At least then the vials will be safe.
Chapter 14. An hour later, we pulled off the highway and into the outskirts of Kingsville. A giant United States flag flapped atop a tall pole right outside the towering gates. Tanks, military trucks, and infantry troops were stationed around the city. Clearly, the military wasn't messing around when it came to battling the undead. About 1,000 feet ahead, a 7-foot barbed wire perimeter fence stretched as far as my eye could see, as if to surround the entire city. In seconds, sirens sounded, and military vehicles rushed toward us. I glanced at Val. She seemed motionless, but we had no idea how long that peacefulness would last.
This isn't a deserted town,
Lucas said. Everything had suddenly become more complicated. Do you think Tahoe's under military protection or something? I asked.
Without a doubt,
he answered, stuffing the tracker inside a pillow. According to my device, the idiot's here. Claire immediately stopped the vehicle. I shot Nick a look. They'll kill Val the second they see she's a zombie.
My thoughts exactly. And we can't let them see her with a sack over her head either, he said, taking it off and throwing a dusty green blanket over her.
What good's that gonna do?
Claire asked through the partition window.
Yeah, that'll never work.
Jackie suddenly raced out of the passenger side of the pickup truck and jumped in the back with us as the military vehicles headed steadily in our direction.
I've got an idea.
What? I asked.
I'll play the ditzy card and get under the covers with Val. We'll tell him we girls are embarrassed to come out because of how dirty and awful we look. We can blame it on our bad hair day.
She slipped into the covers next to Val. Think they'll buy it? Nick asked.
Yep,
the girls retorted. I knew some girls who wouldn't leave the house without makeup, so I had to hope her ploy would work, even though I didn't think Jackie could ever look awful. Val's gagged and everything, so you won't get bitten.
That doesn't mean she can't scratch me,
Jackie said.
She's tied up pretty tight,
Nick assured her. Jackie glanced up at him.
Yeah?
Well, I'm not taking any chances.
They're coming!
Claire said, gripping the steering wheel as she glanced over her shoulder at us. I glanced around for something to cover Val's hands.
Just use the sack that covered her face,
Claire yelled through the open back window.
Got it,
Jackie said. She grabbed the burlap sack and put it over Val's hands, then pulled the cord tightly, tying it in a knot. Nick covered the girls up as I held my breath, wondering how it was all going to play out. The trucks squealed to a halt as armed soldiers fanned out around us. The blanket over Val's head seemed to calm her.
Put your hands up in the air!
One of them shouted. I slowly raised my arms. We all knew it was best to act like naive drifters, just trying to survive another day. If the troops discovered that we were there like bounty hunters, looking for someone in their custody, they'd never let us enter.
We're just looking for some food and a place to sleep for the night,
I lied.
You got weapons?
A man shouted.
Of course,
I said. Martial law has been declared. How do you think we survived all those zombie attacks out there?
We'll need you to hand them all over,
a soldier said.
You can have them back on your way out, or if you don't pass inspection at the clinic.
Soldiers rummaged through our stuff and took our entire arsenal. I hoped they weren't lying and would give us our guns back before we left. There was no way I was going to go out amongst the cannibals unarmed.
Any of you bitten or scratched?
The voice asked.
No,
Nick said.
So you're only here for sanctuary?
I nodded.
Yes, just one night. We're passing through, and we'll be on our way tomorrow.
I figured that would get us plenty of time to find Tahoe, without arousing too much suspicion. For a moment, I considered telling them a thief had entered their town, carrying a bag of vials that might be the cure to the virus. I was sure having the military on our side would be a huge benefit. But what if they snatched the vials away from Tahoe and leave us out in the cold? I reasoned, knowing there'd be no hope for Val then. We couldn't take any chances with her life or our own.
You can put your hands down now,
a soldier said. Another soldier peered over the rim of the truck bed.
What you got hiding under the covers?
My jaw dropped as he pointed his gun straight at the girls. Any second, the soldier could uncover our secret, and we'd all be doomed and caught in our lies. Lucas draped himself over Val under the covers.
Come on, babe, he said. Don't be shy. Nobody cares how bad your hair looks right now.
No, I'm not coming out, Jackie hissed. I have no makeup on, and I stink worse than the zombies.
Yeah, we all stink. We haven't had a shower in days.
Lucas popped his head up.
A zombie apocalypse, and the girl's still worried about clear skin and smelling like daisies. Can you believe that?
I tried to tell her I love her just the way she is, bad skin and all, but she's all embarrassed about it.
Hey, I heard that,
Jackie said.
My sister and her friend have horrible acne,
I laughed.
Unfortunately, there's no pimple cream out here in Zombieland.
Very funny,
Jackie said.
Val, don't be like this,
Lucas pleaded.
The officer just wants to say hello.
Besides, you look absolutely stunning, even if you haven't washed your hair in months.
In an Oscar-worthy performance, he leaned down and acted as if she was whispering to him, then answered,
No, your breath isn't that bad.
He looked at the soldier and said under his breath, Phew. I chuckled.
Aren't those lovebirds adorable? Tell the girls to come out,
the soldier demanded, meeting my gaze.
No, we look and smell horrible,
Jackie said, slowly slipping the covers down.
Please try to understand,
she pleaded, before throwing the cover back over her head.
How many girls are under there?
The soldier asked. Claire slammed the truck door shut and walked over.
Hey, leave my friends alone. Can't you tell they're embarrassed?
Look at us, we're filthy.
The soldiers immediately pointed their weapons at Claire, but she didn't care, and just kept up with her charade, trying to take their attention off Jackie and Val. She placed her hands on her hips.
We need showers and clean clothes, and we're starving. Think you can recommend a great place for a lady to eat and get a drink?
Are your friends as hot as you?
A soldier in the group said, eyeing her up and down, looking like he was ready to gobble her up head to toe. If I didn't know better, I might have mistaken him for a zombie by that hungry way he was looking at her.
No way, she said, flashing a brilliant white grin. If you want hot, you talk to me.
The soldiers all guffawed, laughed, and focused all their attention on Claire. Seduction, I thought. The oldest trick in the book. The men relaxed a bit and dropped their guard, putting down the guns they'd been aiming at us. A man with a buzz haircut cupped Claire's face.
What's your name, sweetie?
She swallowed nervously.
Claire O'Hara.
I wanted the bulldog-faced brute to get away from her. Something protective swelled up in me, and I wanted to get up and pound the idiot. I didn't like where it was going, not one tiny bit. I thought maybe flirtation wasn't the route to go. I clenched my fists, fearing for her safety. If they attack her... I glanced at Nick, horrified. He nodded slowly, signaling that it was best if I play along. Even though I didn't want to, I knew my big brother knew best, so I held my temper in check.
Mmm, that's sexy, the soldier said. Maybe we can hook up later tonight.
She winked. You never know, soldier boy.
That's enough, sergeant,
said the man who appeared to be in charge. He was built like a football player, with massive muscular arms. He motioned Claire back into the driver's seat, then looked at me.
What are your names? Start with the girls who are hiding.
I glanced over my shoulder and noticed that Claire was now safe in the driver's seat. Thank goodness. I let out a sigh of relief.
I need names,
the man demanded, climbing into the truck bed. Val Peterson and Jackie Shadows. He jotted them down, then glanced at me.
And you?
Dean Walters. And this is my friend Lucas Meadows.
And my brother, Nick Walters. He jotted down some more notes, then peered down at the girls under the dusty blankets.
Ladies, you're not going to look like cover girls during the zombie apocalypse. You'd do well to come to terms with it.
Why not?
Jackie asked, peeking her head out to meet his penetrating gaze.
Because life, as we used to know it, has changed,
the man said.
If you don't get with the times, you'll never survive out here. You might be good at handling your mascara brush, but you'd be better off handling a gun out here,
he scolded. And then the other soldiers broke out into a fit of laughter. I knew Jackie had to be boiling from the snide remark, but she bit her tongue and didn't fire any sarcasm back at him. I was thankful for that.
Do you have any friends or family nearby whom you can stay with?
The man asked. No, Nick said. We have nowhere else to go. We're counting on your compassion and hospitality, sir.
Does anybody else know you're here?
Asked another soldier, who'd decided to climb in the truck bed with us.
This isn't a homeless shelter, and we can't be opening the doors to all your friends and family. We're a very private town.
Nobody knows about your precious town, Nick snapped. We didn't say a word to anyone. The soldier smiled.
Good.
He peered up at the officer who appeared to be in charge.
I'd say they're the perfect guests for Kingsville. What do you want to do, sir?
The man in charge eyed all of us.
Cause any trouble, and there'll be consequences. I promise you that.
The last thing we want is trouble, I said, and I meant it, even though I was sure there was plenty of trouble on the horizon for us, at least until we got those vials back.
You can stay, pending inspection by the clinic. Nobody goes any farther without an examination. Drive on over there,
he said, pointing to a small green building.
If you pass, you'll be given an orange slip with a stamp on it. Report back over here with that, and we'll let you in.
I nodded. Thanks. All the troops went back to their respective posts, and we parked behind the building so there'd be no chance they'd see Val if she started her antics. Jackie hopped out.
How's she gonna pass a physical? Only one of us has to pass, Claire said. Whoever does can follow the tracker to Tahoe and take back the vials. I personally hope it's me, because I'm gonna kick him in the nuts so hard he'll be sneezing them out his nose.
Not if I beat you to it, Jackie said. We couldn't leave Val in the back of the pickup. She was too visible. Lucas suggested we put her in the cab. Nick and Lucas lifted her out of the truck and handed her to Jackie, Claire, and me. In that very instant, the bindings on her feet broke.
She headbutted me, and while the stars danced in my vision, she stumbled away. Nick grabbed her around the waist, and she thrashed her legs, sending both of them stumbling and tumbling to the ground. I ran over with some rope and began tying her legs, while Lucas, Jackie, and Claire threw their weight on top of her to hold her down. I scrambled up and looked around to see if any soldiers were nearby. Thankfully, there was nobody in sight. I also looked for windows or security cameras, but I didn't see any. Another blessing. I scooted Val into the front seat of the truck and laid the same green blanket over her. She thrashed around as Nick put the sack back over her head, but once he had it on, she immediately calmed down. I let out a breath as I locked the doors, praying nobody would venture over there to investigate. Lucas had been making jokes about her bad skin, but the troops had no idea just how serious it was. We walked up to the front of the building and entered the stuffy, empty room. It was the typical run-of-the-mill doctor's office waiting room, decorated with colorful portraits, giant plants, a fish tank, and a stack of outdated magazines. A couple of women were arguing at the receptionist's desk.
"What do you mean I didn't pass the exam? I'm in perfect health,"
said a stick-thin woman with a long blonde ponytail. She was in tight black jeans.
"You know why,"
said a lady dressed in white, holding a clipboard.
"The scratch? I told you I got that from my elderly mother, who has Alzheimer's. She fights me when I have to wash or change her. As a nurse, you should understand that. It's our job to protect Kingsville residents at all costs. Surely you understand, ma'am, and we can just..." "No! I most certainly do not understand! This is just an excuse to keep me out, to keep me from finding my sister! I'm afraid you're going to have to leave, or I'll phone security."
The woman stepped closer.
"You said my sister didn't check into this town, but I know for a fact that she came here to visit her best friend. Why don't you just let me talk to Lucy Mandel? Have her come outside the gates for a few minutes if you won't let me in. Please! I need to see her!"
"You can't prove that your sister ever made it here in the first place," the nurse said. "With all these zombies running around, how could she? People are killed every single day by those horrid things."
The woman rummaged through her oversized black and gold purse and pulled out some flyers. Meeting my gaze, she handed them to me.
"Have you seen my sister?"
I peered down at the smiling face of the missing woman. "I'm sorry. I've never seen her before, but we're new to this area, just passing through." We all looked at the flyers just in case and offered our support and encouragement.
"I understand,"
the woman said. When I tried to hand the papers back to her, she held a hand up.
"No,"
she said.
"Please keep them and pass them out around Kingsville if these nuts will let you in. Somebody has to know what happened."
The door burst open, and a group of military uniform-clad men rushed in. The nurse pointed to the woman. Then the men briskly escorted her out before she could get another word out. The door shut with a click. The nurse threw on a pair of gloves from her pocket and grabbed the flyers from me.
"The woman had a scratch, and she touched these. They're contaminated, and I have to confiscate them, if you don't mind."
"A scratch? But that's not how the virus works,"
Nick said. If the nurse really thought they were contaminated, I had no doubt she'd be ushering me into some kind of decontamination area, because I had touched the flyers. I didn't believe her for a minute. The pseudo-nurse scowled, lines creasing her forehead.
"If you don't agree with our protocol, you're more than welcome to leave."
Nick shook his head.
"No, I..." Lucas cut him off before he could say anything to make matters worse. "Protecting Kingsville residents is very admirable. She had a scratch, and you shouldn't take any unnecessary risks."
"Absolutely. Let's get started, shall we?"
asked the nurse, handing Lucas a form with Kingsville on top in big, bold letters.
"Please state why you're here and answer all the questions. When each one of you fills that out, my other colleague and I will start the exams. Who wants to go first?"
I raised my hand. "I guess I will." Chapter 15. The nurse handed me a blue gown and led me to a small exam room, where she asked me dozens of questions. After writing everything down, she gave me time to change. She listened to my heart and lungs like the typical physical in a doctor's office, checking my entire body from head to toe.
"There's a scabbed over wound on your wrist,"
the nurse said.
"What happened?"
I touched the area, and it didn't hurt one bit.
"I fell into a hole, and a piece of concrete fell on me. It's not a bite, I can promise you that." "I know. Zombie bites don't scab over. They fester into seeping wounds."
Val's wound came to mind, because that was exactly what had happened to her. At least in that, the nurse was telling the truth.
I decided it best to casually slip in Tahoe's name. Like us, he would have had to go to the clinic for an exam before entering the city.
Have you been busy? I bet you get a lot of visitors wanting sanctuary in your awesome town, I said, doing my best to suck up to her.
Nobody in 3 days, she said.
My friend Tahoe is supposed to meet us here today. He has a big fluffy beard and brown hair. You can't miss him.
Plus, he was hurt, so I think he'd need antibiotics and fresh bandages.
Nobody with that description has checked into the clinic.
I bit my lip. Are you sure?
Of course. Who would forget a name like Tahoe?
Dead end. How did Tahoe get in without going through the clinic? I wondered. Maybe he has connections in the military. Or did he elude security and hop the fence?
My guess was that he slithered in like the snake he was, the scamming backstabber.
The nurse picked up her clipboard and looked at me.
Just a few more questions and we'll be done. Let's see. Do you have any family or friends around here?
No. Our helicopter crashed, and we're just trying to get back home to Ohio.
Does anybody know you're here?
How could they? It's not like I could just phone home. What kind of question is that anyway?
It's a new protocol, that's all. Nothing to be alarmed about.
Warning bells rang in my ears. The soldiers had asked us the very same question. Why? Why did I tell her nobody knows we're here? What am I thinking? And furthermore, why do they care?
That right there should have been my cue to hightail it out of there, because something sure seemed off.
She continued asking questions that made no sense, giving off more and more bad vibes. I wanted to run away, but knew I couldn't. The nurse's smile suddenly faded, and she held her head.
Are you okay?
I asked. She waved a dismissive hand at me.
Just another migraine.
She pulled a white bottle out of her pocket and swallowed a few white pills.
I'll be fine.
Maybe you should go lie down in a dark room. That's what I do when I...
Her eyes bulged. I said I'll be fine, she snapped.
Sorry.
Just shut up, okay? Be happy you're healthy, Dean, and that you don't have a throbbing headache like me. You easily passed the Kingsville inspection. Here. She threw an orange paper with a black eagle stamp on it. Stay out of trouble. Kingsville has a very strict policy and doesn't tolerate criminal activity of any sort.
I swear we're not troublemakers, ma'am.
I hope so. For your own sake, she added in an ominous tone. You can go now.
Thank you, I said, leaving the room, following the hallway back to the waiting room. Nick motioned me over.
Hey, we've got a big problem,
he whispered in my ear.
What?
I asked.
They somehow know we had a sixth person in our party. The soldiers must have called over here with the list of names they jotted down. They want to see Val next.
Crap, I said. What are we going to do?
The door creaked open, and Jackie shot me a smile as an elderly nurse led her back to the waiting room where we were. The nurse looked a whole lot nicer than the crank I'd had.
So did we all pass or what?
They want Val, Nick said under his breath. I smiled, but I have a brilliant idea.
What?
Lucas asked, walking over.
Jackie can be Val.
I motioned Jackie to the bathroom.
Change up your hair.
I like that.
Nick handed her a handkerchief from his pocket.
Pull your hair back, and make sure you see the other nurse, the one who didn't examine you.
That'll be the crank I just had, I said.
She says she has a migraine, but she's a real headache herself. She smiled.
Not a problem.
I bit my lip hard, wondering whether it was going to work or not. Jackie came out with a bandana over her head, but it was the older nurse who came out and called Val's name. We all exchanged shock, panicked looks. Certain there was no way Jackie would be able to trick the nurse who just examined her.
Oh my gosh, Claire said. Nurse, nurse, come here.
She pointed to a colorful fish swimming around in the reef. The nurse rushed over.
What? You've got yellow damsels in here. Why?
Somebody donated them yesterday, she said.
I love their vivid blue bodies and vibrant yellow tails.
Aren't they spectacular?
For about 5 more minutes, Claire said. Your Volatin lionfish will eat them in a heartbeat. You've got to get the yellow-tailed damsels out of there, quick!
The nurse gasped.
Leo will eat them?
You bet! He's a carnivore!
You must be right,
the nurse said, gazing into the tank.
We're missing about 2 or 3 of them already.
I've had fish all my life, Claire said.
Those two breeds are incompatible.
The door creaked open, and the cranky nurse peeked her head out.
Where's the last patient? You'll have to examine her.
The old nurse says,
I have to save these fish. Leo's snacking on them, eating his own kind like one of those darn zombies.
Jackie slipped over to the door and hurried in before the older nurse realized what was going on. Claire helped the nurse scoop out the blue fish and place them in a different tank with less threatening neighbors. The nurse seemed impressed when Claire told her that she and Jackie had a 25-gallon reef tank back in New York City. The two of them laughed and chatted, and I knew that Claire had won her over with her sweet charm and all that fish talk. I was impressed with all the tips she gave the nurse for taking care of a large aquarium. She really knew her stuff about fish. I paced the floor for the next 20 minutes, and finally, Jackie came out holding her orange slip. "I'm going to Hollywood," she whispered in my ear. I laughed at the American Idol reference and wrapped my arms around her in a hug. Nick grabbed my arm.
"We gotta hurry up and get out of here before they figure out our bait and switch."
The nurses wished us well, and we hurried to the truck with our stamped orange cards in hand.
"Looky what I've got," Lucas said, pulling out a brown glass vial.
"You snagged it from the clinic?"
"Yep,"
he asked.
"What is it?"
"Chloroform." Claire jumped into the back of the pickup truck.
"How did you pull that off?"
Lucas chuckled.
"That nurse should have known better than to leave me alone. I sneaked across the hall and invaded the medicine cabinet. I knew they'd have something to send Val to Dreamland for a little while."
"You're lucky you didn't get busted," I said.
"Me? Busted?"
He grinned.
"Never."
"Great work," Nick said. "Now we can keep her calm and controlled until she's cured."
"Wait, that stuff works on zombies?"
Lucas poured some of the liquid on a white cloth.
"Only newly turned ones."
He clamped the chloroform-soaked rag over Val's nose and mouth until her eyes fluttered shut and she fell limp. I hated doing that to her, and my heart ached.
Lucas sat in the front seat and put Val on his lap. I covered her body with the blanket so they wouldn't see the ropes. "Snuggle her face into your chest. From the back, she'll pass as human."
I shifted the gear and drove slowly over the gravel to the guard station. Rolling down my window, I handed him the 6 orange papers that granted us permission to stay for 2 days.
"Oh, babe, I love you too,"
Lucas said, pretending to flirt with Val.
"No, I can't kiss you in front of military soldiers. They might arrest us for public display of affection."
The military officer rolled his eyes.
"You two need to get a room."
"We plan on it, sir,"
Lucas said smartly. The soldier rolled his eyes again and handed a document to him.
"Don't lose this. You'll need to stay at Hotel Breakers. The address is located on the bottom. Best of luck to you. You're gonna need it."
"What's that supposed to mean?" Jackie asked. The soldier elbowed another one, coughed, then cleared his throat.
"This is the most boring place on earth for a bunch of young people, that's all."
Nick glanced up.
"After all we've been through, boring is perfect."
"Welcome to Kingsville,"
the soldier said. I couldn't help but notice the fake smile plastered across his face. I nodded as the soldiers opened up the towering barbed wire gates and motioned for us to pass. Following a paved road with signs, we found the center of town. We drove down the busy streets and past restaurants, pubs, and shops. I was amazed at how normal the people tried to live, and it reminded me of home back on the island in Put-in Bay. The place had a charm about it, and its rural atmosphere reminded me of towns I'd visited on vacations while growing up. It looked like the perfect place to live if one wanted to stay safe in the midst of that horrible epidemic the whole world was facing.
"We can't stay the night here," Lucas said. "They flipping asked me if anybody knows I'm here."
"And what did you tell them?" I asked, wondering if he'd answered the same way I had.
"I told them everybody knows."
"It was really weird for them to ask that," I said.
"Yeah, they asked me the same thing. Why would they even ask that?"
Jackie asked.
"Remember the lady in there looking for her missing sister?" Claire asked. "Do you think that has something to do with it?"
Lucas let out a long breath.
"We don't have proof of anything. For all we know, the deal with that woman might be something totally unrelated. I say we stay on guard, find Tahoe, grab the vials, and get out of here as fast as we can."
"Agreed," I said. Claire pointed to a red brick building with dozens of windows.
"There's our motel."
It wasn't fancy. Just a 2-story structure with rooms that opened to the exterior of the building. The average motel. I gazed at the sign, then pulled into the parking lot. Nick and Claire went to check us in. When they came back with the key card, we carried Val inside. Glancing around, I noted that we were in an oversized room furnished with a king-sized 4-poster bed, 2 wingback chairs, a gate-leg table, antique desk and chair, bathroom, and large closet. I carried Val to the bed and wound the rope around her wrists, then secured her tightly to the bed frame. She was passed out cold, a chloroform-induced slumber, and looked so peaceful and serene. Blowing out a breath, I apologized to her, but I didn't really have any other choice. I grabbed the Jeep keys and stared at the green flaps of skin peeling off her face. It made me nauseous. I can't stand seeing Val like this. Let's go find Tahoe.
The tracker's acting up for some reason, Lucas said. Something's scrambling and jamming the signal.
So we have no signal whatsoever? Nick asked.
Lucas fumbled around with the buttons on the tracker.
I can pinpoint Tahoe to this general area.
At least we know he's here. Let's split into teams, I said.
Yeah, we'll cover more ground that way, Lucas said. And Val should be out for a few hours. I'll take Claire and Jackie.
All right, Nick said.
Dean and I will cover the south side, and you guys head north. We'll meet up later and compare notes.
I nudged Jackie. If you find the cure first, just give it to Val. Don't wait for us, okay?
We'll give it to her right away, Lucas assured me, nodding.
My brother headed out the door.
Come on, Dean. He knows what to do.
I reached for Jackie's hand and gave it a squeeze. Stay safe, okay? Her gaze met mine. You too. She cupped my face. We're gonna find those cures. Don't you worry.
We'll have Val back with us before dinner,
I said, touching her hand. That'd be wonderful, she said. I shot Val one last look.
I'm gonna make this right, Val. I promise.
Nick patted me on the back.
We're gonna save her if it's the last thing we ever do, he said, and then he turned off the lights.
Walking out the door, I put the Do Not Disturb sign on the door handle.
It was time to go find Tahoe, get my vials back, and personally kick his butt.
Chapter 16. Nick and I decided to look for clues. We knew Tahoe was in Kingsville because Lucas's tracker had led us there, but for some reason, the tracker couldn't pinpoint the signal to his exact whereabouts. We could only assume he'd been off for sanctuary, which meant he had to be staying in that hotel. We looked for the Jeep Tahoe had taken, but we didn't see it in the parking lot. So we decided to ask the receptionist, hoping she would help us. Pulling the door open to the motel office, we were greeted by a red-haired girl in her early 30s. Classical music blasted in the background. Hello, I said.
She stared at us eerily, but didn't say a word.
Suddenly, a sinister smile spread across her lips, and I wondered if I was checking into the Bates Motel. It was just too creepy. Turning down the music, she leaned forward in her chair.
How's everything?
She asked in a low, gruff voice. Is there anything I can do to make your stay more comfortable? I sat down and folded my hands across the desk. I'm looking for a guy who saved my life. He shot a zombie right before it chomped down on my neck. His name is Tahoe. He probably arrived a little bit before we did. She cleared her throat. What's his last name?
I can't remember,
Nick said. I scratched my head. Me neither. She met my gaze. How could you not know the name of the man who saved your life? She turned, as if she was talking to some invisible entity. Glaring, she placed her hands on her hips. Her voice was raspy, as though she'd suddenly been possessed by some demonic inhabitant.
He should have stuck by his side, right? It's a cold, cruel world out there. We have to help one another. We have to help everybody except those who break the rules. Those kind of wicked people need to be judged and punished.
I tuned her out as she went off on her tirade. Looking at Nick, I whispered, who's she talking to? He shrugged.
I have no idea. Maybe we should ask her if Tahoe was punished.
I elbowed him, certain that we shouldn't rile up the lunatic any worse than she already was. I cleared my throat, hoping to pull her attention back to us.
You're absolutely right, Nick said.
But we lost him during the night. Has anyone in their early 20s checked in?
He's 5'9" and has a brown beard and brown hair.
Meeting Nick's gaze, she asked, do you believe in justice?
Yes, he said.
And you? She said, pointing to me.
Totally.
Nick let out a sarcastic huff, and I shot him a look. I knew what he was thinking. Nick believed we should have left Tahoe back on the road to face his so-called justice for trying to kill our sister. Had we done what Nick wanted, we wouldn't have been chasing Tahoe in the first place. The idiot would have never run off with the cure. But who were we to play God?
I'm glad you both believe in justice, she said. Obey our laws, or you'll be punished.
The laws in Kingsville are a little stiff, but it's how we keep the riffraff out.
I completely understand. I promise I won't even walk on the grass, I said.
She looked at her invisible friend. He's an idiot, right? The room suddenly became quiet as she nodded, as if engaged in a conversation with the imaginary figure. I looked at Nick, and he just shrugged, not knowing what to make of the crazy woman. Her voice pierced the air again.
I know! You're right, he is mocking me. Should I throw them out?
A pause ensued, and then she pointed at the door.
Get out! Get out now!
I'm sorry, I said, trying to smooth out the situation. Those horrible, bulging eyes were staring back at me, and I had to admit I was a little freaked out by it. I wondered if she was in transition. That was exactly how Val had acted. Tahoe was hurt in an accident. I wasn't about to say he was stabbed by Earl.
Is there a hospital around here? I knew he'd need antibiotics and clean bandages to prevent infection, and I was sure he'd want painkillers, too.
Yeah, you were just there, she said. That's the only place? I asked. The clinic had looked dead, and I knew Tahoe couldn't be there. Besides that, if he was there, the nurse had lied to me when I'd asked her about him.
Yeah! Now! I said to get out!
She yelled, throwing a handful of papers at us. Something about the tone of her voice sent shivers down my back. Nick nudged me and motioned for us to go. Letting out a sigh, I walked back outside.
What's up with that chick? I said. Is she having a bad day or what?
You sure have a way with women, Dean. My brother said with a laugh.
Whatever.
I playfully slugged him.
But really, do you think she's transitioning into a zombie or something? That's exactly how Val acted, remember?
Yeah, but her eyes were normal, no hint of white. Usually when the virus is kicked in like that, you'll see white pupils.
Yeah, but the virus is always changing, I said.
True, Nick agreed.
We'll have to be careful. The search for Tahoe is going to be a dangerous mission here in Kingsville, especially if people are turning into zombies.
But their security is so strict.
Why haven't they put that woman down yet? I asked. Why is she still working?
We don't know for sure if she has the virus, Nick said.
I'm not sure what to think. What if she comes after us in the middle of the night? She has keys to our room, you know.
You're being totally paranoid, Nick said.
I let out a long sigh. Maybe. But at least we know Tahoe didn't check into the hotel.
Nick nodded. Yeah, if she's not lying.
I don't think she is, I said. I think Tahoe might have friends or family here in Kingsville.
Nick nodded. That's a very good possibility. I say we sneak into the office when she's gone and check out the hotel records to see if he checked in earlier today, just so we can rule that out if he didn't.
That, or we can stalk every single hotel room, I chuckled. Hey, think he'd go to the local bar for a drink?
Pretty likely. He seemed the type. And he's got to have at least some shred of a guilty conscience to numb away. We can start there, he said. But we've got to come up with a better cover story. We can't keep getting kicked out of places, or somebody's gonna get suspicious.
I laughed. Definitely. We walked around the main streets, looking for Tahoe. We stopped and questioned everyone we saw, but nobody had heard of him or seen him. At least based on the description we gave. We passed some shops that sold everything from Indian jewelry to antiques and dolls. All the shops had big closed signs on the doors, and I wondered if they'd ever open back up again. A cool breeze stirred as I racked my mind, trying to figure out where the heck Tahoe would go. Nick pointed.
Look, let's check it out.
There was a bar to my right, with country music drifting out the open windows in all its twanging, cheating man glory. If Tahoe was anywhere in Kingsville, that would have been his hangout. Coughing from the cigarette smoke, I walked into the one-room tavern and took a table in the back. Men played darts and roared with laughter. Nick got us some free peanuts in a red bowl and two complimentary shots and beers. I couldn't help but notice that the guy next to us was reaching for invisible things in the air. Nick noticed it too.
Boy, that dude's wasted.
This is a great place for shots, beer, and a game of pool, a cute blonde in tight jeans and a midriff top said. I couldn't help but notice the dark circles under her pretty blue eyes. Name's Lucy, she said. You guys new in town?
Nick laughed. Is it that obvious? She smiled.
Maybe.
Her name rang a bell instantly, and I had to ask,
Hey, when we went to get a medical exam, there was this woman with blonde hair looking for her sister.
She said her sister was here visiting a woman named Lucy.
That you?
She was passing out flyers and everything, Nick added.
She shrugged.
Nope, not me. And I'm the only Lucy here,
she said nonchalantly.
So? How about it? Interested in a game of pool?
I stood.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Me too, Nick said, taking a long swig of his beer.
Game on then, boys,
she said. My gaze met hers as I wiped my hands on my jeans and headed to the closest pool table. I figured I'd approach her naturally, through small talk, over a friendly game of eight ball. I didn't want her to go off on us the way the hotel attendant had.
I'm Dean, and this is my brother, Nick.
Nice to meet you, she said, shaking our hands.
It's very nice to meet you too, I said.
Nick drew back the cue, then released the shot, breaking the triangle and scattering the balls all over the green felt.
Good break, she said.
Your stripes.
Go again.
Nick made another shot.
Where are you boys from?
Lucy asked.
South Carolina, I said. Just passing through.
It's really bad out there, huh?
I nodded.
Stay here. This is a great place to be, and you've got fantastic security.
We made small talk and played for the next half hour.
At one point, she introduced us to the rest of the gang. I looked at Nick for affirmation, then figured I'd slip in Tahoe.
Hey, we should find Tahoe.
He said he knows this town well. Maybe he can show us around.
Nick turned to Lucy and casually asked, You ever heard of him, Tahoe?
Nope,
she said, and sank one in the side pocket like a pro. I bit my lip.
Weird. I think he has family here.
She made another shot.
I've lived here all my life, and I can tell you there's no Tahoe in this town. What's this fella look like?
He's in his late 20s and has a really thick beard and mustache, Nick said. You can't miss him.
Well, I haven't seen anybody like that lately.
I tossed down a few peanuts and sank the red five in a corner. Anybody come into town within the last 2 days besides us?
Just my husband, Sam. He dropped me off here to hang out with friends while he runs some stupid errand.
I hung my head, wondering where that weasel Tahoe could be. Nick made the winning shot,
and his opponent seemed shocked.
Lost?
She asked, her eyes wide. It's just a game, I said, trying to make light of it.
Are you making fun of me?
She snapped.
No,
I tried to reassure her.
You cheated,
she said, her voice rising to a crescendo that attracted the attention of the other patrons. I knew I had to defuse the situation. She was obviously a sore loser.
I declare you the winner,
I said, smiling.
Pay for the beers,
she roared.
We don't hand freebies out to cheaters.
I looked at Nick and he shrugged. He obviously didn't have a dime on him.
We're gonna leave now, I said.
It was nice to meet you. A cold steel blade pressed against my throat. I contemplated elbowing the guy, but starting a fight wouldn't have been wise. So I decided to keep my cool and see if I could talk my way out of a barroom brawl.
Our Lucy has never lost a game of pool before,
the man behind me hissed.
Obviously you cheated, you filthy piece of slime.
The man held tightly to my arm as a few guys tackled Nick to the ground. The situation quickly grew out of control. A shot fired, and the bartender pointed his rifle straight at us. In all the commotion, that was my chance. I jammed the dude with my elbow as hard as I possibly could, causing him to gasp and take a wavering step back.
Let the boys go, the bartender said. You know we need them alive.
I gulped. Need us alive? For what? What's that supposed to mean?
Hey, Mike,
said the enraged man, breaking a pool cue in half over his knee.
Nobody holds a gun on me. Nobody. I'm gonna break your arms in 10 different ways.
The bartender didn't even blink as he let out another warning shot. I gasped as the man called for his buddies, who all jumped to his defense, while five strong guys rushed in to help the bartender. One of them sucker-punched another, and the dude landed on a table that collapsed underneath his weight. A blonde man retaliated by grabbing a chair and pounding it over somebody's head. And in minutes, the entire bar erupted into a war zone. My eyes locked on a man barreling toward me with a wooden bar stool. With lightning reflexes, I dodged to the left, and the man took out the light that was swinging over the pool table. Another man came at me, swinging a chair leg in the air like a bat. I punched him in the gut, and he dropped and crashed to the ground, while glass shattered somewhere behind me.
Let's get out of here, Nick muttered.
In that moment, I wished our guns had not been taken away from us at the gate. A guy lunged for me, and pain exploded in my jaw when he caught me with a powerful punch. Out of instinct, I landed a left punch that connected squarely with his jaw, returning the favor. Then Nick broke a wooden chair over his back. Another came at my neck with a broken beer bottle. I slammed into the idiot and headbutted him. Dancing amoebas flooded my vision as I tumbled to the ground.
Wait, just how did we end up in a bar fight? I asked the little birdies that seemed to be chirping and flying in a circle around my head, but they had no answer for me.
Nick held out a hand.
Get up!
He yelled through all the shouting and confusion. After I scrambled to my feet, we raced toward the door. I stumbled over a broken chair and an overturned table, then opened the door and hurried outside into the fresh air. Nick grabbed my arm and motioned me down the sidewalk, and we briskly walked away. I raised my hand to my throbbing cheek as we went.
You gonna live, little brother? Nick asked, slapping my back.
I'm fine. I didn't dare comment on my splitting headache or how much the sunshine was aggravating it. Chapter 17. Tahoe's here somewhere, I said, walking as fast as I could away from the bar where we'd unintentionally started a brawl. We gotta find him, and quick. He must be visiting an acquaintance, so maybe the residents here don't know him.
Is it just me, or are all these people off their rockers? Nick asked.
That guy came at you with a knife because Lucy lost a game of pool. Have they been cooped up here too long or what?
I've got no idea.
And what did that bartender mean when he said they need us alive? I asked.
It's all part of a mystery I'm not even sure I want the answer to. What do you think?
Before I could answer, a Boston Terrier lunged at me, latched onto the leg of my jeans, then shook its head, snarling and growling.
Nick laughed. Today's just not your day.
I smirked. The dog's teeth hadn't quite penetrated my skin yet, but as an avid dog lover, I didn't want to kick the poor thing. I tried shaking my leg, but that didn't work.
Bruno, get over here now,
an elderly man bellowed. Bruno let out one last throaty growl, released my leg, then charged back to his owner. The darn dog had torn right through my pants, leaving a zigzag rip. I glanced up to meet Nick's gaze.
Don't worry, he didn't bite me. No rabies shots, then?
I slugged Nick. He knew how much I hated needles.
I'm so sorry about that, son, the man said. Bruno never used to do that, but he's been acting a little crazy lately. I think it's 'cause there've been too many strangers and visitors around. He thinks he owns the town. I'm gonna have to get him a leash, I suppose.
Nick smiled. It's okay.
It's a dog's nature to protect. No harm, no foul.
The man waved.
Thanks for understanding.
Have a good day, sir, I said, walking away.
Hey!
The man called. I turned around. Yes? His forehead wrinkled, and he looked around, as if to make sure nobody was watching.
What poor Bruno did to you is nothing compared to what they're gonna do, he whispered. You boys ought to get out now, if you still can.
I shook my head. What does that mean? He turned, then started talking to somebody who was not there.
I know if I warn them I'm dead meat, but gosh darn it, they're just kids.
Who is he talking to? I asked Nick.
I think some of the people in this town are hallucinating big time.
Listen, Margaret, the old man said. I'm gonna tell them whether you like it or not.
Nick inched closer.
Sir, there's nobody here but us. And who's Margaret? He dared to ask.
Huh? You mean you don't see my wife?
I shook my head.
No, sir.
Well, maybe that's because she died in a zombie attack a few months back.
Clearly, the guy was definitely hallucinating, and my heart went out to the old man.
Obviously, the grief and stress of losing his beloved had simply been too much to handle.
Now listen, you're a nice kid, and I think it's best you get out of town while you still can.
But why? What's going on around here? Nick asked sullenly.
Margaret told me not to tell you.
He then looked up, staring into thin air.
I know, but they have every right to know, honey.
Know what? I asked. Please tell Margaret she can trust us. Nick rolled his eyes at me, obviously thinking we would get nothing useful from a crazy person or his invisible dead wife. The old man frowned.
They're never gonna let you leave. That's what's going on.
I sucked in a deep breath.
What?
The man clapped my shoulder.
Hop the fence and leave, son. And the sooner, the better.
Why not just leave the way we came? I asked.
What? Haven't you heard a word Margaret or I just said?
They're never gonna let you leave. Guests come in by the dozens, but nobody ever leaves.
His eyes grew wide.
Quick! Margaret says you better run, now!
And with that, the man hurried away, his little dog following after him.
Wait!
I called after him, but the man and his dog had already scrambled into a car and driven off.
What's that supposed to mean?
I asked, turning to my brother. Nick ran a hand through his hair as he pondered the man's words.
Only one of two things.
I cocked a brow.
What?
Either the man's crazy, which is pretty obvious, or this town is doing something to the visitors of Kingsville.
I shuddered at the thought.
What could they possibly be doing?
I have no clue, but any sane person would be getting the heck out of Dodge right about now.
I'm willing to stick it out if that's what it takes to save Val.
I couldn't be more proud of you, Dean,
Nick said.
You're growing up right before my eyes.
You know I'd do the same for you, and so would she.
He smiled.
And I'd go through hell to save your butt, too.
Across the parking lot, I noticed familiar figures.
Jackie!
I called. Lucas and Claire waved as we walked over to them.
Hey, guys. Find anything?
I asked, noticing the paper bag in Claire's hand.
Nothing,
Claire said.
We got some food, though.
Jackie grinned.
You and Nick need to eat, or you'll be no good to Val.
How could this town not know Tahoe?
Lucas shook his head.
Nobody's ever heard of him, unless they're lying. We had the same luck. None,
Nick said.
Somebody has to know him, or else he'd be at the hotel with us, I said.
Jackie touched my swollen cheek.
What happened?
Nick cut in.
Bar brawl. Dean got nailed, but he's fine. The people around here are freaking crazy.
Claire nodded.
Tell me about it. It's like they're possessed or something. I swear we've jumped into a real-life horror movie.
Cue the scary music, Jackie said.
Yeah, something's going on,
Lucas said.
Something doesn't feel right about this town, about these people. I swear half of them are hallucinating, all talking to themselves and crap. I just pray to God they're not in transition. If they are, we're so screwed.
I thought the same thing, and it made my stomach clench.
We just gotta hurry up and get the heck out of here.
Jackie lowered her gaze and rubbed her arms.
The people here are scary. The way they look at us and smile like they know something we don't, it's just flat-out creepy.
I hate to say it, but it really does remind me of when Val was in transition, I said.
Exactly, Lucas said. If they are transitioning, we don't have more than a day or two.
Why aren't city officials taking care of the problem?
Claire asked.
Surely they must have noticed it too,
Jackie nodded. The city's trying their best with their strict protocol, but maybe the virus just got out of control.
It happened back at the island, Lucas said. The virus spread like wildfire.
I bit my lip hard. I'd been trying so hard to not think about that, about my parents and my poor grandma. Pain tore through my heart as I said a quick prayer, hoping they were okay.
The old man told us to hop the fence and leave town,
Nick said. Jackie glanced up, her eyes wide. Hop the towering barbed wire fence? Why not just leave through the gates?
Because he said they'll never let us leave, I answered.
Claire gulped. Do you think he was serious?
He also said people come in by the dozens but never leave, I added.
So where are they?
Lucas asked.
You think this place is some kind of cult?
Maybe they sacrifice people on some ancient altar at midnight.
That's creepy, I said. Lucas nodded.
Let's just hope there's not a full moon tonight, or else we're goners.
He let out a low chuckle. Jackie nudged him. Sacrifices, full moons, altars, come on. That's totally far-fetched, and it still wouldn't explain why everyone's hallucinating. Lucas nudged her.
Maybe the whole town's haunted. And they're talking to the dead.
Lucas, we need to stick to theories that can actually happen in real life, Jackie said.
You mean like zombies?
Lucas said.
You ought to take a look around. A couple years ago, that was the stuff of horror films and video games, and nobody would have ever thought it could really happen.
Maybe the old man was exaggerating,
Nick said, peering into the hotel office through the window.
Hey, look,
the lights are off, and they've put up the closed sign. Want to check out the office while they're on break?
Yeah, I said. But how are we going to pick the lock? He smiled.
I snatched a paperclip when we were in the office. I planned on coming back.
Always thinking ahead,
Claire said, shaking her head and smiling at him.
Well, you know.
Hey, can you guys be our lookout?
Yep,
Lucas said. Nick looked around, as if to make sure nobody was looking, then sped off toward the office.
I glanced around, too, just to make sure. But the area seemed deserted. Nick opened the door with a click,
as he was dangerously good at wielding a paperclip, and we both walked in. Daylight glared in through the windows, so we didn't turn on the lights. Nick started rummaging around the desk drawers while I jumped on the computer.
Of course it was password protected. I let out a frustrated breath.
What?
Nick said, flipping through papers in a file.
If this computer holds dubious secrets about its guests, we can't access it.
Where's a hacker when I need one? I could hear Lucas outside, trying to stall somebody from coming back inside the office. Startled, I jumped up, but Nick shoved me under the desk.
Sir, if you don't leave, I will have every right to shoot you,
the man said to Lucas.
Okay, okay. Sheesh, mister, put the gun down, Lucas said. I'm leaving.
My heart raced. I couldn't believe the man was holding a gun on Lucas just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time in a strange town. The people of Kingsville don't play by normal rules, and they were flipping crazy. The door opened, and the lights flicked on. Keys jingled, and my breath froze in my throat. If they caught us, I was sure they'd shoot us, but not before Nick and I pounded them.
I'd take them at any cost. I'd been through the gates of hell and back fighting the undead, and I wasn't going to go down at the hands of the living that easily. Straightjacket crazy or not.
They're asking about Tahoe, a female voice said. You know who that really is, right? I recognized the voice immediately as the receptionist, but the other voice, a male's, was unfamiliar.
Of course I do, the guy said. Does he know people are hunting for him?
I can't find him, she said. He's at the lab or something, researching some serum he got a hold of.
I knew that weasel was here, I thought, and he's playing mad scientist with our formula, with Val's serum.
I could feel the heat rising through me as anger burned deep down.
Ooh, I'm gonna kick his thieving butt if Nick doesn't kill him first, I thought.
They want the guys, the receptionist said.
What about the chicks? I'd love to see that.
They're more interested in the boys. Perfect specimens.
They certainly are that. But wouldn't the girls really add to it?
I bit my lip hard. What the heck does that mean? What would a little town in the middle of nowhere want with male visitors? The receptionist walked in front of the desk, as if ready to sit down and scoot in. I held in a breath. We are so, so screwed, I thought.
This town has enough bloodshed on its hands, she said.
I met Nick's gaze, wide-eyed.
What the heck? I mouthed. Sure. Some people are bound to notice their loved ones disappearing in Kingsville, the man continued. But we're in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. The perfect cover-up for murder.
I guess if the mayor is spearheading this entire thing, there's not much we can do to stop it. I'll see you later. I've got to get back to work.
Suddenly, a scream echoed from outside, and the receptionist gasped.
What the heck? She said.
Come on, let's check it out, the man said.
I heard the door click shut and peeked out. When we determined that the coast was clear, we knew we had one shot to make our getaway. Nick and I scrambled up from our hiding place and slipped out the door.
Is she dead?
Jackie yelled in an hysterical tone.
I'm dizzy. I think it's from this heat,
Claire said, scrambling to her feet.
I just need to get back to my hotel room and get some rest.
The man swung his gun around on all of us. His eyes bulged like a horse who just encountered a rattlesnake. I shuddered to think what would happen if he lost control and started shooting.
We need a doctor,
Jackie said.
Not a sheriff.
Put the gun down, mister, Lucas said. I was leaving like you asked, but my friend about fainted.
I let out a long breath as he slowly lowered his weapon.
We'll take her back, Nick said. So sorry to scare you.
The receptionist glared at me with those demon-possessed eyes, and I couldn't help but wonder again if she was in transition. Get her into bed, the receptionist said, and get some water for her to drink. She'll be fine.
We'll do,
Jackie said, putting an arm around Claire. The tall man pulled the receptionist's hand.
Come on, let's go.
That was good, I said, once they were out of earshot. Without you, we'd never have gotten away.
We were so busted.
Well, did you find any leads on Tahoe? Jackie asked as we all briskly walked away. I shook my head.
No,
but Nick and I overheard the receptionist and her friend talking. Tahoe is here, and he took the vials to some lab. Claire let out a breath.
So the idiot is here! I knew it!
Did they mention where this lab is? Lucas asked as we rounded the corner.
They didn't say, I said, climbing up a set of stairs. But they did admit that their little picture-perfect town has a lot of bloodshed on its hands, courtesy of their very own mayor.
Really?
Jackie asked in disbelief.
Yep, and there was something else.
What?
Apparently we guys are perfect specimens.
What does that mean?
Jackie asked.
Put two and two together, Claire said. Lucas's witchcraft idea is way off. I bet they're doing some freaky Frankenstein testing on random people, and I'm no lab rat.
I agree, Lucas said. I, for one, would prefer not to have my brain floating around in formaldehyde while some dude with Einstein hair straps the rest of me down, waiting for lightning to jumpstart my heart.
You don't know that's what they're up to, Jackie said. And again, it's so far-fetched.
Yeah, said Lucas. Well, I hate to bring this up again, but I don't recall zombies being exactly textbook.
She shook her head, knowing he had a point.
This is like something out of a Hollywood script, I said.
Nick glanced over his shoulder.
I'm not sure what it all means, but I know it doesn't sound good.
Not good at all, Claire agreed. What if there is a lab and they're experimenting on strangers? How does that explain all the hallucinating?
Or transitioning, I was quick to add. Maybe the virus escaped from the lab and is starting to infect people.
What if it's airborne? Jackie asked in horror.
We don't have proof of any of that, Lucas reasoned. Maybe the scientists ran out of test subjects and started testing on their own people.
I wouldn't put anything past these weirdos, Nick said.
Jackie gripped my hand.
Whatever the case, we need to leave as soon as possible, Nick nodded.
Staying the night here makes me nervous.
As we turned the corner, he suddenly stopped and bit his lip,
and I knew something was on his mind.
What's up? I asked. Jackie and Claire have no ties to Val. Why should they risk their lives for somebody they hardly know?
Maybe they should leave before something horrible happens, he whispered.
What are you saying? I asked.
We need to give the girls an out.
I didn't want Jackie to leave, and worried that I might not see her again. But at the same time, I didn't want anything horrible to happen to her.
Lucas shot Nick a long look, as if contemplating his words.
Nick's attention turned back to the girls.
Maybe you should take the old man's advice and get out of town. We can find the best spot to hop the fence and meet up in a day or two.
Jackie shook her head.
Absolutely not, a thought crossed my mind. They'll have no weapons. You can't send them out to zombie land with no way to defend themselves.
Dean's right, Lucas said. But they're in danger here, Nick said.
You really want them to stay in a town full of nuts?
If it weren't for Val, we'd all be long gone. They should get out while they still can. Besides, I'm sure we can find weapons somewhere for them.
It's my risk to take, Jackie snapped. Besides, it's my fault you don't have the vials.
I'm staying to make things right, she nudged Claire.
Tell them. Jackie and I have discussed this already. We're not leaving, and you can't make us. We owe Val. She saved our lives back at that glass house. She had our backs then, and we'll have hers now.
Lucas smiled.
Sounds like you've made your decision, ladies. I guess that makes us a team. And one heck of one at that.
You bet,
Claire said, grinning. Nick threw an arm around her.
Thanks for standing up to me. I really didn't want you to leave, but I had to give you an out, he said, pulling her close.
Thanks for putting up with me. I can be a real pain in the you-know-what sometimes.
I could say the same thing about me, she whispered back.
I'm sorry for saying those horrible things to you before. I was grief-stricken, watching Val die like that. I guess words just tumbled out of my mouth, even if I didn't really mean them.
She hugged him tightly.
It's okay. Even the most macho men hurt sometimes.
Jackie grabbed my hand as we walked to the hotel door.
Think there's hope for them?
I chuckled. As I pulled out my key card, I noticed that the door was already slightly ajar.
What the heck?
Was somebody here? Lucas asked, dashing inside. I raced into our room and immediately noticed the broken ropes and strewn covers. Val was missing. Nick's eyes widened as my heart lurched.
Where's Val?
I yelled. To be continued. In The Zombie Chronicles, Book 3, Deadly City. This has been The Zombie Chronicles, Book 2, Apocalypse Infection Unleashed series by Chrissy Peebles. Narrated by Michael Naramore. Directed and engineered by Noah Bloomquist. Copyright 2012 by Chrissy Peebles. Production copyright 2013 by Chrissy Peebles.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.